I was born in England. My mom and dad are from Kentucky, but dad was in the Air Force.
Yeah.
Was stationed over there with mom, and I was raised there for a few months, and then they came back to Jefferson County, and I grew up in Jefferson County in a section of the county called Fern Creek.
I heard of that, yeah.
It's out in the south end near that big GE plant that they got out there. Oh. I assume your wife wants to be here to talk with us. I can just wait till she...
She'll be right on back in the house.
Okay.
That I have sleep with it every night anyway.
Oh, really? I like the noise that they make.
I was mad at it.
Oh, it was?
Yes, and she's still upset and she's calling me. She lost her son this evening.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Miss Tillman, is it, ma'am?
Maddie Tillman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, she lost her son. Mm-hmm. There's been more tragedy lately.
I'm telling you, it's the one thing.
I was in the cemetery 3 days last week.
I was going to go talk to Miss Oglesby, and her daughter died.
That was I might as well say my child, because I was with her with every child she had, and it hit me, I'm telling you.
And so horrible.
I ain't got over it yet.
So horrible to happen at the wedding.
I'm telling you, I ain't got over it yet.
And then Sam Parker's boy died?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Got shot through the heart.
Is that what happened?
Shot through the heart.
Oh, no, I didn't know what. I just read that he had died away. It's just so much tragedy. I was going to interview Helen Taylor over on 3rd Street, I think it's right now.
Yeah.
And her hip, she has an artificial hip.
Yeah, she's in the hospital.
She's back in the hospital. And then I talked to Jimmy Graham, and I was going to talk to Paul, but his mother's real bad.
Yeah.
Real bad.
She's in the hospital up there.
No, she's going back up Cotton Hill.
I think she has. And I saw her the evening I went over and talked to Jimmy, but they said she'd had a stroke or something. Yeah, it's something real bad there. It's just been tragedy.
I'm telling you.
Tragedy after
almost
tragedy.
Almost when that was Maddie, of course, she and I belong to the same church. Well, we could have been friends for years and years. Because I'm older than they are, and they just sort of lean on my shoulder.
Well, I'll try not to take up.
She's still upset and crying and going on, and she can't get a hold to the children's mother, so the children know the children was up there.
Yeah.
I'll try not to take up too much of your time.
That's all right.
Let me say today is Thursday, August the 1st.
Right.
We're here at the home of Henry and Margaret Ellis. Are y'all kin to Buddy?
No. Different set of Ellis.
Okay, different set of Alice's. Mm-hmm. I called and was going to talk to his stepmother, and
Mother Ellis.
Yes, and she has had tragedy in her family too. So I didn't get a chance really to talk.
Well, as Buddy's wife died.
Yeah.
You know, she's almost 90 years old.
And she was very pleasant.
She was my second grade teacher.
Oh, really?
She was my school teacher too.
Over at Mayo Underwood?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We came from Clinton Street. I went 1 year at Clinton Street in the kindergarten. And they had the school finished down here. And then I went into second grade in the new school. Cool. Miss Mayo was my teacher.
Yeah, the Clinton Street
school. I heard the state office building is now.
Yeah.
There used to be a state prison.
Yeah.
Okay, the school was behind the prison.
Ah, okay. I never knew exactly where it was.
Uh-huh.
What did it look like? The
school?
Yeah.
It was a big...
concrete
building.
Ah, okay.
Uh-huh. Rock. This rock, you would say.
Stone-like. Yeah.
Stone. Uh-huh.
Didn't it get torn down in 28 or 29 or something? Or they moved over to Mayo.
I was in second grade and moved over there, so. What's on that tombstone? I mean, that stone is 29?
I got the stone. I don't know. I had to turn it over. I don't know.
32,
I believe. 33, something like that.
I remember it because I know I was about this tall.
I got the cornerstone coming out of school.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was about this tall. I remember it well because we just had a ball when they were dedicating it. And they brought old man Mayo there, who was named after. Yeah. And Dr. Underwood with his cigar, I can remember like it was yesterday.
Which school was named after?
Who was Mayo now? Was he?
He was the professor.
Oh, okay. Had he taught at Clinton?
He was a professor of Clinton. He was Professor Mayo. Did he start out with us? No, he didn't start out with us. He was too sick. Professor Blyton started out.
He got sick. And,
yeah.
He got sick and Professor Blyton took it over.
Ah, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me start with you, ma'am. Are you a native of Frankfort?
No, I came when I was 18 months old.
Ah, okay.
So I guess I am.
Where were you born then?
I was born in Harlan.
Harlan?
But my daddy is, and them was native of here. My mother was from Harlan, but my daddy's from Frankfort.
What led, daddy was coming back to be with his people or a work opportunity?
Yeah, my mother.
You lived in Detroit, then you came back to
and came back, They came
Harlan,
back to have me.
Okay. And you, sir, were you a native of Frankfort?
I am. Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay.
He was born on Hill Street.
But I left here when I was a kid, baby rather, and went to, I lived in Lexington a little bit. Don't know too much about that, though, but I lived in Shelbyville.
Ah, okay.
When I came to Shelbyville back here.
When did you come back to Frankfort?
I was 7 years old when I came back to Frankfort. 67 now, so 60 years
ago. And I was 18 months old, so I was 70 years old. So I'll be 70 in October, so.
So you were in Frankfort in 1921 then, right?
Yeah, right after, 22, right after.
And you would have been 1931 or 32.
Mm-hmm.
What were your parents' names, sir?
Evelyn Ellis and Henry Ellis.
And your parents, ma'am?
Margaret Hyde and Hobart Hyde. His name was James, but they called him Hope. But my aunt and uncle raised me. Adele and Jim Taylor raised
me. You probably heard of him. Yeah.
Who now?
Jim Taylor.
Jim Taylor. No, I haven't. Nobody's really discussed him with me.
Well, that's who raised me. We lived on Washington Street.
Whereabouts?
And my mother stayed too. I mean, we stayed, but they practically raised me because my mother had to work.
Where did she work?
At the hotel, Capitol Hotel.
Where did your father work?
My father, he went back to Detroit.
Ah, okay. So mama had to raise you all. And your parents, sir, did they both have to work also?
Or? Oh, yeah. But,
everybody had to work.
Yeah, they did, because we all were here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like you say, her uncle raised her. Mm-hmm. And of course, they were the same as her mother and father, you know.
Well, that's what a lot of people have told me, that mamas and daddies both had to work.
Sure, we didn't bring the pain home, too.
And Jim Taylor, you'll run across that name somewhere else again. He was a kind of tall fella. Stay dressed up all the time. He worked for
Ralph Mills.
Ralph Mills up here. Uh-huh. At the Green Mill?
Mm-hmm. No, not that one.
Okay.
He worked for the one with the construction.
They were brothers, weren't they?
Mm-hmm. Ralph and Emmett.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Was the mill down by the river?
No. Right up here in the center of the road.
The chair factory was. That's what we call about the mill.
Okay.
We called that the mill, too.
Okay.
At that time, people did.
Yeah,
the chair factory, yes. It was down by the river.
Okay. And the hemp factory.
Yeah, the hemp factory.
The chair factory was right there on the corner of Wilkerson and Clinton.
Well, as you were growing up as a young girl, what kind of recreational opportunities did you have? Did you have much free time to play with your friends? Or I'm interested in the life of youngsters growing up. And
did we have much
free
time? Yeah. Yes, but we did our work.
What kind of work?
We did our homework.
Chores around the house.
And then we did our chores around the house. We brought our kindling and wood in, and we brought our coal in, and we got our homework. And then we played, we was all outside playing. Then on nice days, we'd go down in the schoolyard, mm-hmm. and we'd play. And then a lot of times, we'd go on the sandbar and we'd play. So we had this good, clean recreation, you know.
At 8 o'clock, you was
but
home.
At 8 o'clock, you was home. Mm-hmm. And then another good part about it, we were all neighbors mm-hmm. and friends. And this time of year, all the old folks would be on their porches. So we would be playing ball or whatnot, but we mind anybody if we got out of line anyway. Somebody from somebody's porch would holler at us.
So everybody was your mama and daddy.
That's right. Okay. And like if we went to the store, and if we was playing along from the store and had our things, why they would say, "Now you know they waiting on you." Well, you know what I mean. And nobody ever. Because I know they had, one time they had a old loft on Church Street that McCaffin in the back of their house. And every day after school, we would go by, we would go there mm-hmm. and play. So they had told us not to go up this ladder.
Okay.
On the loft. But we would. We'd go up there and we'd jump and we'd do it. We'd do it every day. And there was an old lady across the street named Miss Jenny Benneker. And she would holler at us, "I told y'all about it." So one day when we come down the ladder, and all she whooped every one of us. Well, she gave us all a spanking, and me, I went home crying. "What's wrong with you?" "Old Jenny Vinegar whooped us." Then I got another whooping, because I called her Old Jenny Vinegar, you know. You know,
sounds
so
like,
I mean, we had a good childhood life, I would say, because sounds, after all, we all have manners, we all have more, you know what I mean?
Sounds like your parents were pretty strict on you.
They were.
They were.
And other parents too.
They were.
Mm-hmm. Man, everybody. Yes ma'am, everybody. No ma'am, but ahead.
Did they push you all as far as your education? They wanted you all?
Well, yes, you got your lessons and your homework when you come home.
So you both went to Mayo Underwood?
And then if you didn't get them then, after summer you got in there with that homework and you didn't go to bed until you got it either.
And I was fortunate going to school. I lived all around the school. I lived
I
in front
too.
Of it, behind it. No, I could be at home, hear the bell ring, boy, run home. Wouldn't be late. I mean, our school wouldn't be tired.
Me
you
too.
Know.
All I had to do is cut through.
Well, did y'all, did your parents own homes or y'all rented in the area?
Well, we, Uncle Jim and them owned their homes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
rented, you know.
Did, as far as the home that you grew up on Washington Street, can you describe it for me, what it looked like? And, well, did it have electric and indoor plumbing and facilities?
Well, in later years, we were like everybody else. At first, we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, we had a nice big concrete porch built on.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the sewers come down through, well, then we had the flush toilet.
Yeah. When would that have been?
That you sat on and the water met you.
Yeah. Was that up in the 30s, or do you know when all the sewers and all the facilities came in?
That was, that was in 30s, yeah, because the flood was in 37, so it had to be in the 30s.
First
yeah,
you get up off on the
flush. Oh, just as you stand up, it would fly.
Yeah.
I've heard.
And then later on, I guess it must have been in the 50s. No, the 40s, because Uncle Jimmy died 50. So it had to be in the 40s when we got the inside
facilities.
Everybody in the bottom had your outside toilets.
Mm-hmm.
Just about outside.
Or in that area, or else mm-hmm. they had them on the end of the porch, or, you know, they were outdoors.
Yeah, I talked to one fella, is an elderly white fella, Goble McCoy, and he lived on Wilkerson Street on the riverside, all right across from Mayo Underwood in that area, and they did not have indoor water. They had a mm-hmm. spigot outside.
That's right.
And two or three families,
that's
he said.
That's right, because I had an aunt that lived down there.
Mm-hmm.
Then all the sewage ran into the river.
Yeah. But yet, a lot of people told me as kids, they still went down that river and jumped in and played and
swam right on.
Swam right across.
They throw you in. They were terrible, I was. I'm telling you.
I was living on Summer Street.
And every one of them could swim, too. They'd go out in them trees on them ropes.
Yeah, and jump in there.
And we'd go down there and watch them. Oh, Lord, we thought they was heroes.
I was living on Summer Street during the 37th flood.
Yeah.
Two-story house. And water got up to the second floor. We came out second story in a boat.
Good grief.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like to me everybody, I mean, the flood would drive them out, but they always came back.
Yeah, they always do. Before we had the 37th flood.
Something like that in your house.
Before they had the 37th flood, they always called it the high rise.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay.
They never did call it a flood. We always had a high rise. But now it wouldn't get in our house because we live right next to Hill Street.
Oh, so you were up high enough.
And when our porch was up high. But now it would get to our third step, you know. But over across the street from us,
the lower houses,
it would get up to there. But they'd clean them out.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody clean out the house and make a big pond, scrub the floors and things.
Go
and
right back
disinfect and go right on back in. Nobody wasn't sick either.
Why would they come back? They either didn't have any other place to go
to go.
They had to come back in many respects.
Yeah, she had nowhere else, you know.
Let me...
And then down in there, a lot of people owned their own homes, so they wasn't just going to leave them.
Mm-hmm.
See, Ms. Johnson and them on the corner, they owned theirs. Uncle Jim and them next to them owned theirs. Ms. Clay lived next door, owned theirs. Ms. Helen Love owned hers. Miss Emma Glass lived right on the corner there.
And they owned theirs.
You see, people owned their houses. Well, Miss Utterback had a house across the street that she had it rented. But right from there, Mr. Bob Smith owned his house. Miss Simpson, Ma Simpson, that died, they owned about two houses in the Greenwoods owned their home. Miss Patsy Jackson owned her home.
So there was a large
number of property owners living there. See, those people owned their homes.
Have you heard the name John Buckner?
Sure.
All right, well, he owned half of the bottom. Of course, he owned a home over on 2nd Street. It's still there, a great big house now.
Yeah.
And he had all that rented out down in there, you know.
They said he took pretty good care of his places.
Yeah,
though,
he did.
People like maybe Doolin Moss or Charlie Duvall or somebody might not be quite
they
as good
one,
about.
And Ms. Utterback don't leave her house.
He was a carpenter, and he would buy up old houses and stack that lumber over there and keep his house in good shape. John Buckner did, you know.
Yeah, Miss Gill, Henrietta, rented from him.
Yeah, she lived right across the street from me.
I guess the houses that were in bad shape were probably tenant houses owned by people who did not live in the area and did
that's
not...
That's right, that's right. Miss Het Twyman and all of them, the Samuelses, all of them, Miss Holmes, Dr. Underwood, all those people, you owned your home.
Hmm.
And then a lot of times we didn't have places here. And a lot of them worked in private families and saved and got their homes. Hmm.
Would you say it would be fair to say that the neighborhood was integrated with whites and blacks living in the same streets or maybe in the same apartment building and that?
Mostly it was.
Yeah, white man or white.
Down on the Wilkinson Street section.
And across.
White and black right along in there together.
Across from us was white and black. Old man Mac Washington, Old man Mac, I never didn't know what old man Mac's last name. He owned that house on the corner there. Then the house right behind him, that was white.
Did people, whites and blacks, socially interact or pretty much stay
off? We all played together.
Ah, so you had friends that were white
Lord, they come down off the Fort Hill and we'd play in there, ball, shooting marbles. And then they didn't do like that. And then everybody, the parents, somebody would give us a potato and all, and then we'd have dollar dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah, we never did until here and all the late now on Wilson Street in later years where my mother lived. what's his name? You know, work for the gas company.
Baldy, we call him.
Baldy and them, and then you know.
He's white fella. Work look like him.
Uh-huh. They live next door to mother and all.
Bingham's.
Yeah, Bingham lived across the street. That was on Wilson Street. Yeah, that's all mixed up down there.
Yeah, Baldy lived next door to me.
That's the thing that interested me is you have people, an integrated neighborhood, people living in harmony. Long before there's civil rights and all of the movement to integrate,
yeah.
You have a community that's integrated.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, Baldy lived next door to me. We would sit down here and talk, walk around and talk, you know. Just.
You know, then... people treated each other right. Now it's
more distance
between distance and no more or nothing. It's just, that's what it is.
Everybody's mean now. Everybody's mean.
We were brought up to
looking out for themselves.
Yeah, we were brought up to respect people. You know, to look out for each other. We had the everybody's door key fit the same person's door.
Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah.
Old straight kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Miss Lena and them was going away somewhere away. They'll look out in my house over there. Long about dark. They'd go over there and
check.
Open the door and check and see, you know, come on.
So there was a neighborliness for people looking out after each
and
other.
And if anybody was sick, we wouldn't sit with them if they lived by themselves. Many times little girl that came in, we'd go and sit with these Miss Lizzie Parker, Sam's grandmother,
mm-hmm.
lived around on Hill Street. We go around there and sit with her at 9 or 10 o'clock, you know.
Okay. If I little door key, I go over there. Can I borrow your key? Can I borrow your key? Come on, unlock my house and kick you on back, you know.
It's hard to imagine a time of so much trust, you know.
But nobody didn't steal nothing, nobody.
And everybody helped each other.
Well, let me ask you, on transportation, when you were growing up, did your families have cars early on, or did you...
Well, mine did.
My dad had a car too, you know.
My uncle had an old Studebaker. Couldn't drive it a lick. We had a driver.
Well, Miss, who was it?
Russell Lewis used to drive us everywhere.
Buddy Ellis used to drive Dr. Underwood.
Dr. Underwood.
And didn't somebody drive, it was one of the teachers that couldn't drive. I can't think of her name. I had a story.
Alice Samuels?
Might have been
no, she walked.
Yeah, but she couldn't drive. Later years, she bought her
car.
Yeah,
but he ain't talking about her. Yeah. He's talking about.
Had a car and couldn't drive, boy.
I can't remember, but I heard that
story.
They
used to come and get Miss Case where she worked, Mr.
Well, she didn't need no car because she worked for Irons. On the river one.
And they brought her to work.
And they'd bring her and take her to school, they have program and everything, and still bring her and take her. Well, she lived with them, in other words,
Well, let me ask you one thing. A lot of people I've talked to either had nicknames or their friends had nicknames. And it struck me as it's important to have a nickname. Almost it's like you're accepted into the group, like, well, Uncle Doe. Doe Belly,
yeah.
Shine Boy, Squeezer, Black Cat Graham. Did you have a nickname or?
No, I didn't have any. Just about everybody else. We had a boy in there, we called him Slugger. Everybody had a nickname, really. Right now, it's amazing that some people we know now.
That we don't actually know their real name.
We don't put in parentheses their nickname.
It passes us up.
Well, like Shine Boy, nobody I could find.
I know his name.
What?
John Apollo.
Pollard?
John Apollo.
Uh-huh.
Ah, he was out of the mountains now, wasn't he?
Uh-huh. Yeah, out of Harlem.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, and there's Corn Pudding Charles.
Uh-huh.
He was resident from here, yeah.
Yeah, Barber, I believe.
Yeah.
Judge or Pap Samuels. Let's see. Oh, there's just so many of them, it's hard to remember.
Yeah, it's just a world of them that had
Why the name... Craw. I think you said something earlier, but I didn't get it on tape.
They said years ago, when it would rain hard, the streets down there would be just full of crawfish.
Well, did the people of the area who lived down in there, did they refer to it as craw, or was that sort of, you didn't do that, it was a stigma to...
No, just the area.
It was just an area where just that low part where those that didn't have no sewers or nothing, that's what Uncle Jim them said, said that would all come up from the river.
Mm-hmm.
Then they call themselves upgrading, I guess, then it say the bottom.
The bottom.
Yeah.
All right, then after the 37 flood, well, the kind of upper class didn't get no water. Just a little water. All right, then they were flood rats.
The flood rats.
All right, then when it began to get into everybody's house, they were refugees.
Oh, that's good.
And that prison, it had about half full of water. And those prisons, those that were breaking out, they were
afraid of drowning.
Trying to get out. Yeah. Trying to get out.
I heard them hollering.
And up here at where the human resource building is now, they had it all blocked off, and all them prisoners was up there.
Moved them up there. Well, when you try to define the limits or the boundaries of the bottom, is it Wilkinson Street and the river on the west? Would you go as far as Hill Street, or how far north would you go when you're talking about the bottom? Is it Miro, or do you go all the way up to Hill on the boundary of it?
I would say from Miro, to Ann Street, then from Ann back to Broadway. Wouldn't you say that? Because everything was on this side of Broadway.
Mm-hmm. Everything was on the north of the side of the railroad tracks.
Yeah.
Would you go as far east as St. Clair? Or you said Ann. That's...
All right, that's where the... That's Broadway. I mean, no. Well, it's right up from... well, that's on that side of the track, I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I was trying to... We got the track...
You're talking about
southern.
Going this way.
I'm talking about going east. How far east would you go? You got the west boundary, that's the river. You got the south, that's the railroad tracks. You got the north, which you said is about Miro Street. How far east would you go? And you said...
North would have been clean down to Hill Street.
No, down east, to Hill? All the way to Hill?
East would be High Street. Because I lived on High Street.
Yeah, but he's talking about covering the area.
That's an answer, it's a square there.
Yeah.
He's talking about covering the area.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, trying to make a square out of it. You'd go as far east as High?
From High Street to Broadway,
mm-hmm.
Wilkerson Street,
and then up north
to Hill Street. That took taken in where all the blacks lived. Am I right?
Well, you must have lived close to Jimmy Calhoun then, all the Calhouns.
Didn't I live right across from them. They live where the post office is right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's where they live. I live right across the street from them. Mm-hmm. That's High Street.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. He and I talked for 3 hours. He's a
isn't
character.
Something else?
He was isn't telling me else? The day the Calhoun boys struck oil, that one of the brothers had snuck in and dug a little trench and ran a 30-foot section of pipe, mm-hmm. and had a pump and pumped oil through this little pipe, and it started coming out of the ground, and they thought that they had hit oil in their backyard.
They was always doing that. Their mother gave me music lessons.
Oh, really?
She could play a piano and could sing.
Well, you know where the post office is now?
Yeah.
All right, you know it's that big house right across from there?
Sure.
All right, Mr. Brown, black fella, lived there. He's mm-hmm. a contractor. He and his wife lived in that big house there.
Mm-hmm.
They had two sons.
Okay.
And one of his sons in later years was the principal of Mel Winterwood High School.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. What was his first name, y'all?
James Brown.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I've heard
he was our freshman teacher, and we used to tell him all the time, because he was really educated. We didn't have nobody talking about half time. We said, you got too much education to be teaching us. We don't know what you're saying.
Then we rented from, what was that, Senator, next house, where we live.
Way up on High Street?
Yeah.
Lisbon Lynn's in there?
No, coming back down on this side, Professor Grant's house. Where they go?
One time, Dr. Anderson, his son got to be a senator.
Okay, that's who we read it from.
Uh-huh. But I can't think of Anderson's first name. But Dr. Anderson lived there, yeah. Okay, that's whose house y'all lived in, with yeah. Dr. Anderson.
You know, his son got to be a senator or something.
Yeah,
As far as when you were growing up and going to school, did you do any after-school jobs to earn money?
Yes, I did.
What did you do, ma'am?
I worked at Bishop Boarding House and washed them dishes.
Was that just to earn?
$1.50.
Oh, my goodness. $1.50 a week?
When I first went up there, she gave me $1.50. And then I guess she seen I was going to come regular. And then she raised Then I'd have to go down there and get her a cigar and things. And then she raised me to $2.50.
About what period of time was this? The 30s or when would you?
Let's see, I can count from I was in the... I was in the 8th grade going into freshman.
That would have been probably the 30s.
30s, uh-huh. In the 30s. Mm-hmm.
Did you do that because you needed to earn it for the family?
We did it because our families were, should not, no. I still got my allowance. Mm-hmm. But nobody's supposed to take care of you. You're supposed to learn how to do on your own. That's what you were taught there.
Ah, so the money that you earned, you got to keep and
use.
Oh,
yes, okay. Yes.
Did you also have to work?
Sick? Yeah, no.
Now, sometimes they'd borrow 50.
Excuse me. Every afternoon, I would go to the Capitol Hotel. That's where the State National Bank is now.
Yeah.
I bellhop there. I shine shoes there. Mm-hmm. And I made more money shining shoes there than I did working for the telephone company when I did get a job. Tennis and the shoe stand. And I would, we would have school savings at school, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd have more money in there. So I'd go up there every evening and pick up $5 or $6. Then, that was a lot of money.
How old of a young man?
I was 16, I was 14.
Uh-huh.
Then I would give my mother some, and I would keep some. I didn't drink, I didn't smoke. My money went along with it. I kept money all the time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Until I got up some size, and 18 years old, I went in the Army, see.
Ah, so you, as soon as you got out of school, then you almost went right in.
He wasn't out. He had to go back to finish.
I got 2 deferments. I got a grade while I was in school, then I got a deferment till I finished school. Then no sooner I got it, though, looked like it was right there at the door waiting on me.
Picked you up as soon as you stepped out the door. Which branch of the service did you go in?
I was a quartermaster.
Ah, okay.
I went to England, France, Germany, Belgium. The South Pacific, which was Manila.
Ah.
I mean, that was wartime.
Hey, you saw service in both theaters then, European and Asian.
He didn't say when he pulled his socks out, they'd be rotten.
Oh,
I tell now, I hauled supplies, gasoline, everything that went to the front line.
Mm-hmm.
I would go through, I told her how close I was behind the fighting. I go through these little towns, well, the big town over there, running around dead people, dead horses, dogs and things in the road just going on.
Huh. Taking supplies up to the front.
Right now, it seemed like a dream. It don't seem like a...
When did you get out of service then?
45.
So you came back to Frankfort after you got out?
Yeah.
A lot of the vets went north. What led you to stay
in
Frankfort?
Well, that's where all my people were. And I had never been out of town until I went in the Army. Didn't know where to go. Came right on back to Frankfort, yeah.
I see. So many of the black vets went north and then they came back. A lot of them came back after they had worked up there for a while. How did you two meet?
Oh,
schoolmate.
Oh, y'all, that's right. You went to school together.
We went to school.
Your childhood sweethearts? Or?
No.
Oh, no.
Oh,
she knew
no.
more. She knew more than I did then. And there it is. I caught up with her.
See,
and got her, too. So, I mean, we've been married quite a while now, then.
Let me ask you a few other things.
Now, we went to school together.
Let's see, make sure. When you were going to school, and thinking about your life after school and what you were going to do, what kind of career aspirations did you have, ma'am? I mean, what did you want to do with your life after school?
I always wanted to be a teacher.
Ah.
But when I finished school, I took my little money and spent it in another. I just decided there was other things I wanted to try.
Uh-huh.
So that's what I did.
Okay. Did
And then I worked at Wright and Patterson Field, too.
Wright Pat? Mm-hmm. Air Force Base?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay.
I worked at the officers' quarters during the war, you know. So it was just, you know, different things I wanted to do afterwards. I'm glad now that I didn't take going no teaching thing.
Yeah, it's a hard life for a teacher. Yeah. Profession to get into.
Annie Mary, she went on through with her. She's a teacher. Madame Marie, she's a teacher. I don't know, Edna was in the trend one to be one. I guess she is. I don't know. I haven't heard no more. She'll have to be dead. I don't know.
People speak very highly of the teachers, like Miss Samuels and
Miss Case.
They were really educated people.
And one thing about it, they had concern for you.
How did they express that concern?
Teachers, they made you. I mean, if they saw you were getting behind or something, they work with you,
stay in
school and work with you.
I'll tell you a story. Miss Gill told me she wanted to take typing, and all the typewriters were taken up, and her teacher had a portable typewriter, and every day when her teacher came to school, she carried that portable typewriter, so Miss Gill would get to sit in on the class and type.
Oh, yes.
Plus, so, after school.
They tell you, and just like Miss Laura Chase, if you were in her room and you wrote real bad, and things. But then she started you on a pen, didn't care if you what we were. She started you on a penmanship.
And worked with you to
you somebody up. Could read your writing.
What kinds of social activities took place at Mayo Underwood? What kind of did they have dances?
We had socials, they called them then, they didn't call them then. We had socials, and Miss Holmes was chaperone, and Miss Nix, we had a home economic teacher. She
had a good basketball team.
I had a good basketball
Did you play basketball
team.
For the school?
They'd do a cry. Then after the basketball game, we would have a social. It's 10 o'clock. You still had to go home. Your mama's out there waiting on you. Dad's out there waiting.
Oh, I'm standing looking at you dancing.
Somebody told me that the mamas would come on the balcony and look down at you.
Yeah, we were still writing notes.
It's so different today.
Yeah.
They said the more diplomatic mamas and daddies would wait outside the building, but there were some that would stand
right up there in that thing.
So I've heard that they used to put on plays, too. That
yeah,
was something
we had
that,
plays. Uh-huh.
Jack Robb and others would put on.
And Jack had a dance in school.
Oh, he had a dance in school?
Uh-huh, upstairs in the embalming place because I was blind to.
Would he teach dance to the kids as well?
Uh-huh.
He was supposed to be a fabulous entertainer.
He was a good entertainer.
Didn't charge us but a quarter.
Did y'all take dancing lessons?
I did. She did.
Ah, we used to take what they call cotillion lessons. It's the same kind of thing. I always hated it when the girls had to pick the boys. Always some little girl about that tall come over and pick you. I remember it.
Yeah, we had a lot of activities.
Well, when you got out of service and came back, what kind of career did you go into? Was that the telephone?
No, I worked at the Frankfurt Drugstore for 5 years. Then I worked at the Glen. I kept saying the job, more money.
Mm-hmm.
More days off, holidays like that. I went to Glen's grocery store. Then I worked there about 3. Then I came back to Frankfurt Drug.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to the telephone company from there. That was in 1950. And I worked at the telephone company 32 years.
Ah, South Central Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this, did you work also during the period, this period of time?
Yeah, I worked. Yeah, I worked all the time. I ain't been long staff. But
you're both retired now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I finally took up home nursing, you know, nursing people.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Whereabouts did you all go to church? Did you go Corinthian Baptist? Or?
I went to the Holden Street, the church right here along the corner you're talking about.
Oh.
And I went to St. John's. Is it on there?
The AME, yeah.
And I still go there now.
Let's see. Now, wait, there's St. Clair coming in to Clinton. So St. John's would be... Wait a second. Let me get it right. Where does Lewis come in?
Yeah, it should be in between, yes, sir.
Here it is. Here's Lewis. St. John's AME right there on the corner.
That's where
that's still there.
That's where I went. That's where I still go.
Can you describe the inside of the Holiness Church to me? What it looked like?
It wasn't no modern church. It was a new church.
Ah, okay.
They built it new. It wasn't no modern church. It had regular benches. And, mm-hmm.
They built a nice church,
It was a nice church.
And
they
had a nice basement.
It wasn't more
basement.
Than like it is now, you know. They had nice benches.
And nice basement, basement and everything. Uh-huh.
How large of a membership did they have?
Oh, buddy, I see about... Then I guess what, about 150?
That's a good sign.
100? Mm-hmm. I know.
I'd say about 100.
Well, somebody told me they had a woman minister there.
That's
they
right,
did.
Mother Jones, they called her.
Mother Jones. Uh-huh. They started in a little small church.
Started in the house.
Oh, really?
Started in the house, then they moved to a smaller church. They built a smaller church, then they built the big church on the corner.
Was the house and the smaller church also down in the bottom before they
built? Yeah, uh-huh, side by side.
Was it?
They never did get rid of the other property. They just built another church.
When you say holiness, I get an image of speaking in tongues,
right.
And
mm-hmm.
laying hands on, and,
right.
and faith healing, and, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Did that church, when Urban Renewal came through, did they reestablish themselves someplace else? Are they still in existence?
On Wallace Avenue.
Should
they? They went on Wallace Avenue.
Oh, I know. Across
they
from that
they had
garage.
Meetings at our church for a while.
No, it was behind the garage. Okay, you're right.
Yeah.
Behind the pier, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They had meetings at our church for a while.
Oh, at St. John's AME?
Uh-huh, and then until they bought that place. Uh-huh, and then they bought that place out on Wallace. And then they changed names, and now they down on Walsall. Ain't it?
Yeah. I think that's what I was referring
church.
To.
That's the same
that's
church.
That's the same church.
Same church.
Yeah, they're building a new church out on Lee Stanton, going out, what's the name they're going out?
Georgetown Road, is
no,
it?
Down no, down there, the resource building. It's Glens Creek.
Glens Creek,
yeah.
Yes.
They got a lot out there to build a new church out there. Yeah.
It seemed like to me the church played a large role in the black community.
It did. Because we went to church or you didn't go nowhere else.
Yeah, well, three at one time there was four churches down there.
Well, so, okay, Corinthians, St. John's, the Bethel Temple.
First then, Baptist.
Then, First Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
Then Sister Staple, they had a church.
On Clinton.
On Clinton Street.
Mm-hmm. Now, where was her church on Clinton?
It was... Between Wilkerson and
Center.
Center.
Okay,
Street.
Here's
uh-huh.
there's Wilkerson. Here's Center coming in.
All right.
It was on the let's see.
This
it was
Clinton,
on the right hand
right, second house. It's right in this building I see here.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And it says back. And it says back.
Yeah, well, that's it right there then.
Mm-hmm.
Was that Holiness or?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was a Holiness. And mm-hmm. Sister, what was her name? Sister?
Staples.
Staples. Okay.
Well, when you go by Sonic, big get together there, man. They'd be in town.
And people would be all
and,
that.
And
be, oh, we would go
you
there.
You couldn't get in the
after we leave,
on the street and all the stuff.
After we left our church, and that's it was then you had night services. And after we left our church, we go to the stable and stay now.
Couldn't get in.
And then, she left and went back to Detroit. And then after she left from there, and when we get out of our church, then we go to Henry Nim's church. Because they didn't let out the 10, 11 o'clock.
Well, I've heard...
And we'd all go, because we had friends that belonged to that church, too. So we'd go to that church.
Were there any white members of these churches?
Yeah. Yes, Brother Perkins.
It is now.
He helped to build that church. He put a lot of money in that church.
Mm-hmm.
And
I've heard they going, sing beautiful anthems and have music.
Yeah. And see, his wife, Brother Perkins' wife, is the cause of him being in the church they in now.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay.
All right, the mother John, brother John, they retired, went back to Detroit, Michigan, to an old, Saints home.
Ah, okay.
But now they both
have gone on.
Mm-hmm.
So they came
and they
down.
They turned it over to, what's his name?
Red Owens.
Red Owens.
From Indianapolis, Indiana, yeah.
Red Owens?
Reverend Owens.
Okay. Is he still here in the community?
No, he's gone.
He turned it over to a younger preacher, and he began to get...
The Joneses came down from Detroit specifically to take that mission?
No, they came from Lancaster. When they had Lancaster,
they had Lancaster. No, and they kept coming to this church, and they finally...
I thought they came from Lancaster.
They did.
Huh?
They did.
Well, it struck me how important the church is, and that women played a large role in leadership in the church. And you don't find that in white churches as much as black.
That's right.
Like there are women ushers, there are women elders. I think Miss Holmes said she was on the trustees of St. John's AME.
She's St. John, my church. She was my church.
Which, I guess I don't really know why the whites don't put their women in leader or let their women assume the leadership roles, but they don't seem to as much as the black church.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Did they have women's auxiliary groups at the church? Like
yes.
WMU
we have the hospitality. Then we have the we've got Henry I tell you that one got the money, what you call it?
Well, they play a big role in it right now.
Yeah, we've got a lot. Then we have the Stewards Board. We just have a lot of, now this time we having, next Sunday we're not just going to have Women's Day like we've been doing. We're going to have Men and Women's Day combined.
Huh.
And we're having these people come in from Tennessee and bring the busload in.
To lead the service and activities?
Uh-huh.
Let me ask you, I talked to Henry Sanders and George Simmons, and we got to talking about the NAACP. Chapter in Frankfort and all the sit-ins they had at some of the restaurants to try and get the restaurants to open up, and Juniper Hill Swim Pool and the Frankfort Drug Store. There's a legal case between the Frankfort Drug Store and the NAACP about service at the counter there.
Mm-hmm.
Were you all active in any of the civil rights? Oh, you were working there at
the
time?
They had
probably know the inside story on all
that. The Pitcher Drug, they had a fountain too. Well, they'd taken theirs out.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as integration around Frankfort, it wasn't bad at all.
But they talking about what they were getting against so that you go in there. See?
Like I was saying, everybody knew that about it. But there's these different stores didn't want to integrate,
Mm-hmm. Were you working at Frankfort Drug when they had the lawsuit between the, I guess it was the NAACP and Frankfort Drug about service there at the counter, or had you already left and were working some other place?
I believe I had already gone because it was... Well, then, one black person that came in there then, and that was Jack Wild's son. He looked like a white boy.
He was very like
coming up St. Andrews, right with the rest of them, nobody paid no attention. But, I wasn't there then, I guess. I had gone.
So y'all weren't active in the local NAACP or participated in
it? Henry and I went to one, two meetings, but we just kept putting it off. And I just really hadn't, but a granddaughter, she joined. Carla belongs.
I have the names of
but
some...
But since she's been going to college, I don't think she's been too active in it.
Well, they said...
This year, last year or something.
The Frankfort last chapter sort of got revitalized when the Urban Renewal Project came in, because a lot of people got together and tried to block the urban renewal.
Yeah.
And that was sort of what sparked them up.
Yeah.
I've got some names of...
But we didn't have enough money. I was in thin. They didn't have enough. We didn't have enough money to fight it. We got a lot of things from Louisville, but it didn't.
Well, that's... Maybe I'll switch over to urban renewal just for a little while. You mentioned the lawyers. I heard that they brought in a couple of lawyers. There was Julius Nippenberg and J.S. Carroll were hired to try and fight the project.
Mm-hmm.
But I never heard what became of. I don't know if they
filed. Who did? Who did?
What?
Who did ever hear what?
Nobody has told me it.
They did what they wanted to, and that was it.
Well, see, somebody told me the property owners were contributing hundreds of dollars.
Dollars, too, to try to stop it, but they didn't do any good because they were trying to save, really trying to save the Corinthian church, too.
Oh, really? They made special efforts to save Corinthian.
Well, you know, to save their property, too, but I mean, you know, they still wanted the church and all, and the school.
Mayor Underwood. Yeah.
Let's see. Okay.
Nothing came. Well, there was a petition.
They had they had so many people against them that had money.
Mm-hmm.
They had been planning it all along for years.
Were any blacks involved?
And when they got them in there, that was it.
Were any blacks involved in the planning of the urban renewal at all?
No, you know if there weren't.
Yeah, I haven't
found. Because one thing about it, this you know, since you've been here, you know, this is a political thing.
Yeah. Well, let me ask
and
you.
And if you don't stand in with the right people,
you're out.
You're out.
Do you remember when you found out about the project? How you found out? Did a friend tell you, or you read it in the newspaper, or did you go to the public hearings that they had?
Well, they didn't have none when they first started.
Oh, really? When did it first start? Do you remember offhand?
No, I don't. All I know is that every time they try to get a piece of land, that's what they did.
Well,
and then that's when the plans really began to form.
When they started buying up
because they bought, you know, Mr. Richard Anson died,
mm-hmm.
and they bought, ran there on Hill Street, that property.
All they want is a foothold. Then they
all they want is a foothold.
Well, see, I didn't think the original project was supposed to include Hill Street in that area north of Miro. I thought when it started, it was just going to be down sort of in what was the heart of Bottom in that, in that.
That's what everybody thought, but when they started and got started, they got everything.
Well, why did they keep expanding the area? I mean,
see, they told damn well. They were doing it all along undercover.
Little bit.
Yeah, the plain board and all of them were having meetings. Nobody knew it. If you worked with somebody that was in there and all, then they would tell you a little bit about what was going on.
So they might tip off a friend who worked for them, a black woman or black man who worked.
They'd work for them, that's the way some of them knew. Because they say that's the way, a whole lot of ways. And another lady knew was through where she worked.
Ah, okay. Well, they circulated, the property owners down there circulated a petition to get signatures.
See, they tore down all the different places at different times. They didn't just come and tear down what they wanted. No.
Just little bits and pieces.
Yes. I tell you, it was almost forced. They come and offer you a price for your property. You was almost forced.
Well, did some people hold out for a better price?
They
did.
Yeah. Were you all, did you all own a house at that time down there?
No, my uncle did.
Ah.
But she kept holding out.
Did she
get and she also knew somebody.
Ah, that helped her a bit, I'd say. Well, did she get a price that she was satisfied with by
she
holding out?
She died, bless her heart. I'm glad.
Before it was all over.
Before it was over, yeah.
One person said
that she would have killed anyhow, was killing anyhow. That was her everyday talk.
Well, see, a lot of people told me that they felt some of the elderly people their passing on was sped up by this project.
It was. Miss Hat Green wouldn't know what. Then she said, she even said, there's no way in the world that I can come back at my age. Well, and my husband's gone. See, he had died, you know.
So many of them owned their homes, and they were elderly, and they couldn't get enough money to buy it.
No, no.
So they, I know I've, a couple people told me they had to go back into debt
to get
another home.
You almost have to do that now.
Yeah.
So you buy your house, you go buy another, and you still have to borrow money to go along with it.
And see, they still running around grasping. They grasped all this property up here.
Mm-hmm.
Now look at it.
Yeah.
They've used all they need to use.
They're trying to sell it back.
Now, if you try to buy it back, you can't build nothing on it. So why do you want a piece of land?
Well, did you all do anything to resist? I mean, did you attend any of the public hearings or sign any of the petitions or any way voice your protest against the project? Or?
Yeah, we did, yes.
What ways did you all express your opinion?
Well, they had meetings, and of course, when we had they had the papers, and of course, we was against it. That's mm-hmm. all you could do, and of course, they had the speakings and all. That's all you could do.
Well, when they had the speakings, did y'all or your friends stand up and express any opinions about the project, or what did y'all hear at these meetings? What kind of concerns did the neighbors?
Well, they would just come in with the plan of what they had,
mm-hmm.
and what they would do, and how it would benefit you and everything. It didn't, but anyway, that's what they said. And
what kind of things were they telling you?
That. You know, you live at a better place, and you know, and so forth. That's what they were telling you.
Did they tell you could buy back in and come back after?
Oh no. They expressed a plan that they never did say exactly what they was gonna do down there, but everybody knowed that the state wanted. So that's all you can make out of it.
Yeah.
The state wanted. And they said the state was gonna come through.
Ah, well, see, one of the things I was led to believe was when they originally...
And Mr. Mills and them knew that the state wanted it. They said that...
Ah.
Yeah, for sure.
Mr. Mills, you say?
Yeah, they and all of the big people, they knew what they were doing. They're political.
Ah, okay.
You know it's political, because if you work for the state, I work for the state.
Mm-hmm.
When I got on... I never did have an interview.
You mean nobody ever came and interviewed you?
I never even went to nobody interview. I went to my lawyer, and he called up on the telephone and told me to go to work over to the state office. You know?
See
what I'm telling you?
Yes. I know how things can work if you got the right people.
I put an application in for state. Never have heard from it right now. And my brother came up while I was working, because I worked for the highway commissioner, you know.
Yeah.
And he told me he needed a job. He got on the phone, called over State Drive, said, I'm sending a man over there, put him to work.
Ah, that's all.
I still haven't heard my application yet, though.
Yeah, it's gotten over your nose. I'm telling you.
Well, I think you mentioned one time y'all had to move around two or three times after this project started.
Sure. I lived on the corner at the time. And the people that owned the house that I lived in at that time, Professor Condon and them, they lived in Dayton. And they were sort of holding out as long as they could.
Right.
And all. And, well, anyway, they finally had to give in. There was no other choice. So then they moved me from there. My mother and all of us lived there. And we had... 6 rooms, 2 halls, and a bath, and all. Well, my mother died during that December, and all before that spring. And they sold it out in that spring. And they moved me from that because I was by myself at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And in a 4-room, and all this function stuff I had to get rid of.
I've heard that from a lot of people, that you keep moving and losing things.
Well, people with families, that's who they were trying
that's
to replace.
That's who they were taking.
If you didn't have them, they weren't worried about you.
No.
So single people,
I
just...
stood one day in line until one morning at 9 o'clock and stood in that line. And when I got up, they was about 1:30. And they told me, when they got to me, they asked me how many was in my family and everything. And I told them, and they said, well, you can find someplace. We getting the ones with the family and that's on the welfare. Sure did. And whatchamacallit, little Curtis was there, and Jack was there, because they all dead now. But we were the one that didn't have these big families and everything. So Jack went on to live with his father, Saint.
So if you were single and by yourself, you were on your own then. I mean, they weren't really helping you.
No. And like, if you had anything, any income, I was working and making so much, that was a no-no.
No-no in what sense?
I mean, for help.
So... at one point, I was told they would pay relocation assistance. They'd give you some money if you had to move and help you move. Did you get any kind of assistance when you were moving from apartment to apartment?
I got somebody to help to move my things, because I didn't want everybody breaking my things up. And then another thing about it, they kept writing me letters, but I ain't never got no check till today, and I'm ready to die.
They never gave you any kind of compensation.
Well, I ain't got nothing yet. I filled out the papers and things for them.
But they never did follow through on it. Did you have any dealings with Frank Lewis or Charles Perry? Lewis or Perry? Both of them? See, Perry, I called and he refused to...
Yeah, he was nasty anyway. They both didn't do none of us right.
Well, see, I had one fella tell me, I won't tell you his name, but he said he was surprised that those men weren't killed.
You better believe it.
Because there was a lot of people who had relatives out of town.
Well, that second time I had to move, if I had a gun, I'd have killed it.
That their relatives would come back, and they were so distressed to see what was happening to their families down in the area that there was really some hard feelings towards
them. It certainly was. And Frank
people.
Lewis was a big liar.
What kind
That's
of
what
lie?
What I tell you, I'm ready to die now. He wasn't filling them papers out, and I never did get nothing.
What kind of lies were you told?
I mean, what they were supposed to do. They never did do it. Not for me. A little Curtis and none of us.
Well, a lot of people. It's funny. They still have very bitter feelings. It's been 30 years.
Yes.
And they still have hard feelings.
And he come here with nothing. He come frankly with nothing. His pants were just as ragged in the back as they could be.
Mr. Lewis's?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Lewis's.
I have yet to call him. I've been sort of waiting. I wanted to talk
to him. He probably tell you a bunch of lies, but anyway, go on and call him.
Well, I'm trying to get everybody's viewpoint. I'm going to give everybody a chance to sound their...
Well, I mean, really, we just wasn't treated right. We wasn't.
You treated right in the sense of told the truth, given compensation for your...
It looked like if you told the truth about what you're supposed to
get,
you don't get nothing.
Well, they were supposed to go from house to house.
But they pocket that money, you know it.
Oh, really?
Sure, they had to, because... they made like that they had so much for this. Well, everybody didn't get it to do what they had to do. So where was the money?
Where did the money go? And I don't know. I haven't yet to see any records.
We're not dumb. We're not dumb people.
Somebody was making out on that.
Yeah.
So as far as public housing, were you all eligible or even interested in public housing if it had been made available to you?
Well, the same way, you had to have a family.
You had to have a family. You could not...
At that time.
You'd get in the housing projects, you know.
And Henry's got a sister been in one ever since it opened.
Which, is she over in Riverview or oh, what's the one up behind KSU? Sutherland?
That's where Margaret lives, up on Douglas.
Douglas Avenue, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They own a house on Mirror Street, too, see? Don't
they own one. They had to move.
Yeah, a two-story house there they sold.
Mm-hmm.
And then she went into public housing after they sold the house.
Yeah.
Been in there since.
See, because Margaret had 8 children.
Ah, my goodness.
She had 2 away from home. 2.
And one guy,
one grown girl, wasn't nobody grown but Barbara and Neely, that's all.
One guy had another big family, and they, you know how you come in 2 doors, one on one side?
Yeah.
Two different houses. They knocked the wall out.
And put made one it big in enough for them.
Uh-huh. In a public housing unit, you
yeah.
said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Miss Gill told me that she and her daughter, they shoved her into a unit that was so small they had to put their bed sideways.
Sure did. Put in right up in there.
So,
nowhere to put your furniture.
They might have gone from a big house to a small, and they lost, like you said, had to sell rooms of furniture because they had no place.
Give it away. You know, do whatever you could.
Well, supposedly the federal government was going to make low-interest housing loans available.
Yes.
Do you know of anybody who got any, or did nobody I've talked to ever qualified for one of those loans?
Well, right now, they got them right now, but every time you get a raise, your rent goes up.
Ah, okay.
That's right over here, Prince Hall now.
Yeah.
And they know before you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to find out, but...
They do. Well, I've heard that from people. Anytime you got a salary increase, your rent went up.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let me switch away from this urban renewal for a while, other than to find out when you all left, when did you all finally move out of the bottom area? Do you remember?
Let's see. I moved out, because we weren't married then.
Ah, okay.
We weren't married then. I moved out in 1962.
Okay, were you there
for
the...
621.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right here, where I'm there.
Oh, you moved right to here?
Yeah.
And when did you...
And I went to Lexington with the white people.
Ah.
And worked, and then, when I was trying to think, I went to with Lawyer Davis and them to Ohio. That's when I moved out, wasn't it? But I was trying to think of what year that was. It had to be in the 50s, didn't it?
No,
it's 60, because it was after the flood.
Yeah, yes,
the 62 flood.
After
the big 62
flood, yeah. I'd say it was about in 63 I moved out, because I went to I didn't go back. I went to Ohio to work with Miss Davis now.
Ah, okay.
Hello. She's not here.
I'm glad to get out here.
No, I didn't know it till I come up in front of the house.
Yeah.
We had a move
that
up,
she has gone now.
And the last time I went out to my mother's, I lived here then.
Lord, no.
They were living on Wilkinson Street.
Yeah.
Then well, if she
went down there, I cut a hole in the ceiling and began to pull that stuff upstairs.
Yeah.
And when I went out, I didn't have my boots on, but while I was in there, I had to put them on.
Okay.
Huh.
And when I come out, water was up to my knees.
All right.
And so you were pulling furniture up to a hole in the
ceiling? Up in the ceiling, upstairs.
The 62 flood. Or was that the 62?
That was 62, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that saved a whole lot of hustle.
So I guess I left him down there about 63.
63.
Uh-huh, because after when Ms. Davis and them, I moved with them up there and helped them to get straightened out, because I come on back home, but I stayed up there, but I never did go back down there. Because me and my cousin and all, we got rid of all of that.
Well, I'll ask you one last question about the urban renewal, and then I got a few other things, and I'll leave you in peace. Why did they pick that area of town for the urban renewal? What?
To the river. You see what they're doing now, don't you?
What, with the river, or?
Yes, and all of that. You see what they're doing.
I'm missing you here. I'm not following
you. Well, I mean, they wanted a river view. They want the state.
They want to develop that whole area.
And they
want
it all in that area.
I see what you're saying.
And they've got it all in that area.
So you think that was the motive all along?
See, they've got that all in that area. And they're coming on down. You watch what I tell you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're...
I might not live to see it. But you will. Because I mean younger. But you watch this, what I tell you, of how much the state's going to have.
Yeah. Oh, they're buying up lots of
downtown. Well, see, they thinking about out here, and yeah, we sit out in the country.
Oh, the state's thinking about buying up?
They're building, going to build things all up in here.
In 1978, they had highway here again. And they had a track, a flat track and trailer down there, down to the plaza, full of pumps.
Mm-hmm.
And they were burning their pumps out ever so often if they had to put them on, trying to keep that water out of the plaza. That was a 24-hour job I got there, keep changing motor, but they kept it out, you know.
Yeah, they came within like a foot of cresting over that flood wall down there.
See, we are all still religious. And we liable yet still get to live and see them all washed over that wall there. And
one
we
lady
still believe in our black heritage.
Well, during the 37 flood,
we still believe there is a God.
And if there is, it'll wash that whole thing away.
During the 37 flood, it was up with the electric wires. Up to the pole, way up now. Now you know it.
So do you know it can still do something?
Well, I was talking to Miss Barry over at the corner of Hogan Homes. And she said she's living for the day when that tower sinks into a wet spring that she thinks is right under. It's going to go all the way down.
Sure, because it's nothing but water down there.
Well, she said.
And how they think they're going to outlive it.
She had friends that refused to go back down. They will not set foot down there. They're still so angry about what happened.
Uh-huh. Most time I've been in the plazas when they have something for the church.
If there was a bottom today, if all of this was mysteriously back where it was, would you live there again? Would you go back?
Yeah.
I certainly would.
I sure would, yeah.
Well, certainly. We live like people. And then all these people like animals everywhere. And you know.
Well, let me memories of it.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some names of women who lived in that area who were, well, African American and white women. Mama Bryant. Do you have any remembrances of Mama Bryant?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's
a. They said she could cook like you. That I tell you, Mr. Calhoun told me that. Sometimes she'd cook up extra food, and her specialty supposedly was chicken pot pies, chicken or fried chicken, I guess it was maybe. And she'd hang a lantern off the front porch.
Yeah.
And he calls it a festival.
Festival.
Yeah, that's right. That's what
I had never heard of a festival, and you could go.
That's what we always call festival.
And buy a little bit.
Chicken pie, pig feet, anything, you know.
And he said sometimes you'd go down that street and there'd be three or four. And you could go.
And old Washington Street would be Miss Patsy Jackson.
And then a whole lot of time, let me tell you, some whole lot of time white people wouldn't come down there and they'd send somebody down there to get a phone, you know.
Yeah. Well, somebody told me he used to make money. He'd pick up three or four dinners and in his wagon and take them to people who were either scared or didn't want to come down there or nothing like that. Ida Howard, white woman, somewhat questionable
reputation. Oh, you know who Ida Howard is.
Live down on
Hill Street.
Yeah, Hill and Washington,
She had a questionable reputation, let's put it that way.
Now, you're right.
Yeah, but she was sharp, though.
Smart woman?
She was sharp, honey. She was dressed, honey. She was sharp. Because us little kids, that was something for us.
To see her come down the street?
Yeah, because, honey, she wore them clothes.
Finery. Mm-hmm. Finery. Let me see who else. Eva Cox.
Miss Eva, that's my old buddy.
Squeeze the Brown, picture just showed me, he had an old band he played.
Yeah.
And he come down the street and he see Miss Eva. Oh, Eva Cox, boy, she would have run him over.
Jimmy Calhoun was trying to remember the lyrics of that song. He could not remember.
He sang about Miss Eva, Henry?
Oh, he had Miss Eva Cox. Well, she'd run him every time they come
we
out.
We asked him what was the lyrics of it.
Do you remember any of the words of that song?
Mm-mm.
But,
no, I don't.
He'd have it all rhymed up together.
Yeah, but she supposedly made money from selling baseball tickets.
Uh-huh.
Go door to door, and you'd pick a couple teams, and if your teams came in high end, You could also bet the races, I think. That was
lucky. She was lucky, too.
She was lucky, too.
Oh, she said, somebody told me that if you started winning too much from her, she wouldn't come back by your place no more.
She loved that, too. I remember that.
She was another, go ahead.
She saw a friend of mine, she's talking about a baseball ticket. Said, hey, Junior, you want some of that stuff? He said, no, Missy, we're not there. Well, she's talking about a baseball ticket, you know.
Yeah, she could connect you up with people, too. She was a matchmaker, I guess, is a way of putting things. But they said it. She sort of looked a little dirty, maybe, like she wasn't the most cleanly.
In a old age, because she was charged with a tax. Like I tell you, she had a big house there, two houses.
Yeah.
Fence painted green, red bulldog and so, and she was a nice-looking woman herself. Yeah.
In her younger days, of course, age.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. Age took a toll.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Ms. Nellie Harris. You remember Ms. Harris?
Yeah, I do.
I don't know anything about her. I just know names. Tell me a name and I'll...
She lived on Washington Street. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that the same as Maggie Harris?
No.
No, there was a Maggie Harris.
Mm-hmm. There was a Maggie who's sort of the equivalent of Ida Howard, I think.
Yeah.
Sort of for,
right.
Same kind of thing.
Well, you put the right word in there.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it was Miss Gill said, oh, the stories I could tell you. And I said, oh, you don't have to.
Go right.
Yeah, because I don't want to put anybody on the spot. Grace Sarvin, a white woman married to, Harvey Sarvin. They used to call him 20 grand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He had a wrestling down there.
I know Grace's name, but I never didn't know what 20 grand's
name was.
Harvey Sarvin.
Well, what about that? I know Grace, but I never didn't know 20 grand's name.
They said she wouldn't smoke a cigar, but she had a cigar with her most of the time.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they ran, what was the name of their place? It wasn't Tiptoe, was it? Or Blue Moon?
Sky Blue? No, Esther Bryant ran the Blue Moon, didn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, what was the name of it? They just called it 20 grand, I thought.
20 grand?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I ever know. Yeah.
Now, would blacks go into, like, 20 grand's place, mm-hmm. or was that a white joint?
It was a white joint.
A white joint.
White joint.
Okay.
But then what
it's right across from Cozy Corner, yeah.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see, Cozy. Well, now, there was a place called the Red Brick.
That used to be Cozy Corner.
Yeah, it used to be Cozy Corner.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Because
mm-hmm.
Didn't Will Wren have a Cozy Corner?
No.
James Linton.
James Linton and Tubal Marshall.
Tubal Marshall.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's when they named it Cozy Corner. When there was the Red Brick, Mr. Steve Miner, and who else ran that Red Brick? Somebody else. They were folks that. When they called it the Red Brick, and then after Tubba got it, they called it the Cozy Corner.
Mm-hmm. Do y'all remember Julia Miles?
Yeah.
Willie Miles' wife?
Yeah, she worked for Dr. Coleman.
I live next door to him on Wilson Street.
Mm-hmm. The story I heard was that they used to have the dump, city had the dump down by the river.
Right behind where I live.
And they moved it out. And they were thinking about bringing it back in. And Ms. Miles got up, I guess it's from the city council or some group, and she gave this real impassioned speech about you having us come into your homes and work for you, and you want us to stay clean, and you're going to put this dump in our backyard with rats and fleas.
Yeah, that's her. She would talk about it.
She says she's very outspoken.
Yeah.
She was a secretary.
And Doc Coleman was standing right in behind her with everything, too.
She was a secretary for Dennis in the McClure building.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm. I think one time Doc Coleman was mayor, I believe, and he's standing right in behind her. She worked for him.
Oh, Doc Coleman was a white doctor, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. He was mayor. He was mayor. Dorothy Wright. Louise Evans.
Yeah, when that McAllen mother, what was her name? Elizabeth Evans. Yeah.
Bessie Anderson.
Yeah, Miss Bessie.
Mm-hmm. Again, don't know anything. Nanny Oliver.
It was Oliver's mother.
Oh,
let me tell you a joke about that. They
And that's on tape.
I think I've heard this one. What are we going to do with Little Willie? What am I going to do with Little Willie? Take him to the workout. Somebody done told me that one.
But she, and boy, he'd come work out that morning dress shop. And then she had him, this is clean and dress shop. Come from work, I'd go to school. Come right down toward my house.
Yeah, she apparently bootlegged a little bit on it. Well, one of the ladies I talked to said she made home brew and it was a way to make money.
That's right.
She said the whites would come out to her house and they'd come around and get a sandwich or get some brew, and the police knew and everybody knew, and they just, it was,
you know,
the police didn't bother you then, unless you're fighting or something like
that, then and that didn't, you know. And the thing about it, times were hard.
Had to get by.
You know, times were hard.
Well, I'd heard that story about that Willie Oliver.
Yeah, I'm going to do a little Willie.
Miss Matt Harden.
Yeah, she was a sweet little lady.
Well, let me ask you a little bit about politics. Did y'all ever attend any of the rallies that they said they used to, white and black politicians would come in, they'd have a big speech and maybe have food or have alcohol and, you know, speechify and try to get votes. Did you all ever attend any rallies or political?
He didn't, but I was in that political mess.
Oh, really?
I mean, because see, when you work for the state, then you went to them rallies. I told you about that time we were supposed to go to that rally up in the old State House yard. Calendar.
Happy Chandler.
Well, we went to the first one, and the next one we didn't go to. So when he got in, we all got letters, special delivered, charters. So that time you was putting in pennies, and so we were going to put our pennies in. So Mr. Leslie Morris was living then. He was out there. So we called him and said, well, we got fired because we didn't go to the rally and your man got in. So he said, we weren't going to put in and get our pennies. He said, well, don't worry about it. Let's go on in tomorrow. And I don't know what he did, but we went on work next night and it was dropped. Then when I was coming up, we went to rallies over Perkins's garage. Where? You know, where they'd have it speak. But that time, though, they wanted all black to be Republicans. You know, you wasn't a black Democrat, wasn't supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's when you got a state job.
Yeah, sure you did. And so that's the way that my uncle worked for Mills, and some of his friends worked for Perkins.
Ah, okay.
So, and Perkins and Mills was good friends. So therefore, whoever got in, it didn't. But I remember a time if you didn't vote the way you were supposed to, you didn't have no job.
Yeah, you were out.
And then, of course, they came, well, I was over at the time they put the merit system out.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
That was after Louis Nunn came in, wasn't it, in 67? And he fired a bunch of fired them left and right.
Yeah.
And then the merit system came in about 69 or 70 or 71, about the time Louis left office. Do y'all remember Will Castleman?
Yeah.
He controlled the bottom.
How did he control the bottom?
Anything he said went.
He had power uptown?
He had power uptown.
Yes, he did.
But if he shoot a guy down there, they come pick him up in 15 minutes, he walking back down the street.
Yeah, I heard that Will was a man that if you got in a scrape, you could go to him and he could get you out.
Mm-hmm.
That,
he had something about town there.
And he could walk in there and say, hey, you, get out of here. No question asked. You got to come on out of here, you know.
Well, I'd heard, and it could be wrong, that when Dr. Barry got shot.
He didn't kill him.
Somebody, well, one of the fellows I talked to agrees with you. He said Castleman didn't kill him. There was another man there that actually killed Dr.
That's
Barry.
That's right.
Barry.
He took the blame, you know.
Yeah. But Castleman, supposedly, if you needed the bottom to win an election, if you could work with Will and Will was for you, he could turn the vote.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, what kind of incentives would they offer you to vote? I mean, would Castleman come to your house and say, now we need you for so-and-so, we need you to turn out for whoever, you know, was running?
I don't know, because all I ever know that is that he would ask you for that man.
Okay.
Now, I don't know, you know. Because I never did work the polls or anything, so.
See, Joe Beecham, I don't know if you know Joe.
Oh, yeah. He's around here now.
Yeah, I went up to his house. He just got out of the hospital not too long ago. He said when he was 12 years old, they packed him and a bunch of his buddies in a car and took them over to the polls, and they signed in, you know, gave him each a dollar. They never saw a ballot.
They were crooked. You know, politics.
Joe's been running with us ever since I knew Joe Beecham.
Yeah.
We went to Cincinnati not too awful long ago. He's right in with the crowd. Only white in there. Only with the crowd. Went right on with him.
Yeah. Hey, we had a lot of fun. He said his cousin voted 9 times for the same guy. They drove him around precinct to precinct.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, politics was crooked.
Yeah. Well, they said...
Ain't much better than that.
Yeah, they said that there was vote buying in the bottom, or people would receive alcohol or money to vote certain way. Do you remember a man or heard of a man by the name of John Follis?
Yeah, and he was another treacherous person.
Your
mother
worked for the Follises?
He lived on Wilkerson Street. Wilkerson and Hill Street.
Mm-hmm.
Did she work at his store? Is that?
No, she worked at his home.
Ah, okay. What kind of a man was John Follis?
I don't know. He was for my time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was little,
All talk I can hear about John Follis, he was a good guy. They say he's a good guy, but didn't take nothing off nobody, and nobody fooled him. He didn't fool nobody.
Why did your mother say that, you know? Yeah. Mother,
even the police scared of him.
Mother used to babysit for him, but that was for his first wife, the old boys.
It was another guy in Frankfurt called him Red Jim. He was a black guy. Then John Favre was scared of him.
What was the black guy's name? Red?
Red Jim.
The last name Jim?
Jim.
Ah.
No, that's what they called him was Red Jim.
That's what they called him, Red Jim.
But I don't know what his name was.
Because didn't fool with him.
Ah.
Fool with everybody but Red Jim.
He was scared of Red.
Scared of Red Jim,
yeah. Well, I heard, Bixie. I never met Bixie.
Bixie. Well, now that's who my mother and them used to nurse when they were little.
Ah. So your mama looked after Bixie?
See, he had two wives, and his last wife was named Annie Mae, and that's who the younger children are by. But it was two boys of them, was Bixie, and what was the other boy?
Carlos or Ishmael?
Carlos, uh-huh.
Carlos. Well, the first woman, Follis's first wife, was sort of a religious lady.
Yeah.
It used to preach and lay hands.
Oh, yeah.
But Annie Mae Blackwell was the second wife.
Yeah.
Well, actually, they sort of overlapped a little bit there. If I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
But was Eastman or Follis?
Who?
Eastman.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was Bixler's brother, Eastman, youngest one.
Yeah, the youngest one is Eastman.
Yeah,
but
sure.
That was by his second wife.
That was the second wife.
That second wife. I'm talking about Bixler and them, the first
Bixler
wife.
Bixler Carlos. There was a girl, there was a daughter.
Yeah.
But she died, she got killed in a car wreck when she was about 23 or 22. R.T. Brooks's wife is the daughter of that girl. Actually, the granddaughter of John Follis.
Yeah.
And they've got some pictures of Follis and stories about him. He was a good man. He's sort of a sweet and bitter. He was good to people. He could give you credit at his store, give you coal. But at the same time, like you said, you crossed him, buddy. You better be crossing him and leaving town.
My mother say the same things and said in the house they tiptoed.
When you talk about men who are politically powerful, like Castleman and there's others down there. I guess I can't think of any of the names, but did they derive their power from their ability to do favors, like get jobs or get you out of trouble, or? Were they good speakers, public speakers? I mean, what was the source of their power?
We don't know.
Well, I don't know, but Castleman, he could get you out of anything.
He ain't talking about anyone.
Oh,
talking about in speaking.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know them had no speaking.
Speaking abilities.
I don't know what their power was.
Did you have Dr. Berry? You heard anything about him?
Yeah, I've got a whole section. I'm talking you guys into the ground. I don't mean to be doing that, but I've got a list of cards here with the names of businessmen like Dr. Berry, Dr. Biggerstaff.
Yeah.
I think he was a dentist.
Yeah.
Dr. Withers.
Yeah.
Dr. Gay.
Yeah. He's a dentist, huh?
Yeah. Did you all, who was your family physician?
Well, we went to Dr. Berry.
Dr. Berry?
And the doctor, Dr. Coleman was a baby doctor.
I guess I had all of them. Dr. Berry, Dr. Underwood.
He was a good doctor.
And one time they all used to sort of work together, because I remember one time I was real sick, and Dr. Underwood got Dr. Washington. You know, and had
Dr. Coleman never sent nobody a bill. He said, they know, they owe me, they'll pay me. He never would send the bill. Nobody.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about Dr. Coleman.
Yeah,
Now,
Dr. Darnell.
The city used to, Dr. Darnell used to doctor a lot of people, and the city paid him some money. And he'd go to, like, the poor whites' homes and doctor on them. I heard that. Dr. Holmes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did y'all,
He just died, yeah, last year.
Yeah, not too long ago. Mm-hmm. I went and talked to Helen Holmes. She's,
and
she's
his wife.
Nice woman.
Yeah.
George Taylor. I'm into whites and blacks. Do y'all have any remembrances of George Taylor or the liquor store?
I used to work for
George Taylor.
Oh, you did?
George Taylor started out working for Charlie Duvall delivering beer.
You were working for Duvall?
No.
No, he was.
And okay. At that time, you couldn't distribute and sell, you couldn't distribute and sell through something like that.
Yeah,
anyway,
okay.
Well, he put George Taylor in business.
Ah, to get around that law, so he'd have somebody.
And George owned his business.
And that's where George Taylor got his money.
That's how he got his start. Yeah.
He only has the one store left, I think, now.
Yeah, he sold one out on Home Street.
Yeah, his son is still alive. And
Little George.
Yeah.
Little George.
I didn't think he'd be alive this long. I feel like killing him. He was spoiled.
What about Charlie Duvall? Do y'all have any remembrances of Charlie?
That's who George worked for, Charlie Duvall. He was a beer distributor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he supplied most of the pop and liquor to the joints down there, didn't he?
Uh-huh.
That was his.
Uh-huh.
Doolin Moss.
Now, that's the guy.
He's still walking.
That's the
guy
that you would see.
He's dead, but he's up
there
walking.
If you would see, you say, look at that poor man. Look at that poor man come out here. He dressed with old cap on, old dirty clothes thing on. But he was a good lawyer. He get the divorce right quick.
They said he was so tight,
on,
he'd pick up like
paper,
pouches with chewing tobacco would come in. He'd pick them up.
Now we take groceries over to his house in a case of beer. And he come up to the store. Glenn was running the store, and he said, now, I ain't paying for no beer. I'm paying for groceries. I don't know how you're going to get your money out of that beer. But she did. She paid for her own beer, you know.
Yeah. I'd heard that he was one that really didn't keep his places up in
no,
the bed.
No, he didn't. No.
He might stuff cardboard in a hole.
Well,
or
he'd take his back book and put it over a hole and go on, throw a little paint on it. Wind come in at the same as 2 and 2. He didn't do nothing.
Antonio Papa.
He made Antonio ice cream.
I come up with his girls. We all play.
You go up and get a big bowl of ice cream, I guess, one nickel. Homemade ice cream.
He said he used to have a push cart, and then he went up to like a horse-drawn
wagon.
And then he got finally a motor car.
They were just like us. They lived right there on Corner Miro and St. Clair.
Well, there's still some of them girls in town.
I see the oldest one they have now.
I'm gonna see. She might talk to me. I'd like to talk to her because a lot of people have very favorable remembrances of Tony Papa. Thomas Black Cat Graham.
Poor Thomas. Poor kid.
That's Jimmy Graham's daddy.
Yeah.
What are you talking about over here? Jimmy and Paul.
Jimmy, he was pretty honest. He said, I guess you'd have to call my daddy a hustler. And he was said he could pitch baseball. If he'd have been in the big league days.
He'd have made money.
And he did pitch for a black team. Frankfurt merchants or something,
something like that. Uh-huh.
Did you all go to the baseball games, the black?
Not then, because Thomas was a whole lot older then. Because he was a man when I was a kid, you know.
He better hurt you. We wasn't that light outside the door.
He's a great fisherman, too. He.
A fisherman?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, I never heard that. He fished?
Yeah, he had no job. He had everything in the world.
He sold minnows. He had a little pool in the backyard on the ground. He sold minnows. Fishing equipment, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
He never had a job until in later years, then they got to working in one of the whiskey stores up there.
Yeah, he worked at Hayden's Beer Garden, I think, is one of the places he might have worked.
Mm-hmm. That was when I was younger then.
Yeah.
But then he worked for George Taylor later on.
Mike Deacons.
Remember him, yeah.
You remember him?
Sure, Mike Deacons. Yeah, sure, man. That's right across from the American Legion down in there.
He wasn't the one about that tall.
I know, the little short guy. Sure, I remember Mike Deacon.
Well, didn't George bought out Deacon, didn't he? Isn't that the way that works?
George Taylor did. Mike comes to getting sick.
Now, Mike's place was more for blacks, wasn't it? I mean, his
was
white.
White?
Well, Mike Deacon?
Yeah.
White.
Was okay.
It? Yes, it was.
I don't know, because it wasn't light up in no house.
Yeah, I imagine you didn't, your mom wouldn't let you. Frogwoods Grocery.
Made a fortune in Franklin. There were two brothers,
had two bushel baskets of food when they started out.
Oh, really? Is that all they had?
They didn't hardly have nothing in that store when they started out.
And down Wilkins Street, they bought up two houses back in and built a big stone building.
But when they started out on Miro, they didn't hardly have nothing, you hear me? And then they would get rabbits and all that and hang them out and sell them, you know, and all. And they begin to get up on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
Carry the pocketbook like that with money. He cash any kind of check, bonds or anything.
You could cash it at his store?
Right
at
store. Yeah. Anything.
One of the things I've heard, it was very important to offer credit. That a lot of people did business on credit.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That you pay a little bit every week on your bill.
Right. That's right.
Get what you want.
Blacks in particular. You had to have credit.
You had to have credit. And that's the way Frog got on his feet.
By launching out with these.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Didn't have no rest of cash at the end. It's all done with pencils. But now you go in the store and get a list of groceries. I don't know how I got to pick it up with a pencil now. You know.
He just had a piece of paper and a tab mark it up on the tab.
Mm-hmm.
That was the days of delivery boys, wasn't it?
He had delivery boys. But after he was there, Jimmy used to laugh about the whole time. He had the delivery boy, and then Jimmy said, "Now you really working up, ain't you?" He said,
"Looks behind that work that long time."
And he'd tell him, Jimmy said, "Yeah,
really?
Jim, I worked up on your license." Yeah.
Here's a name you might, Alec Gordon.
Alec Gordon, yeah, he had a place down there too.
You have any remembrances of Alec?
Huh?
Was Alec?
He killed my uncle, I think. When Uncle Will Davis, he killed my uncle then.
I heard that, there was a conflict over some money, I think. And he walked up and your uncle was on the porch or something, and he shot him and killed him.
Well, he ran a little bed place there too, see.
Yeah. He ran a store too.
Uh-huh, a store
he
too.
Started out in the grocery business and then went into the liquor.
Yeah.
I heard he and Shine Boy got into it one time and was shooting at each other on the streets. That Gordon was a man that he could be very violent on occasion.
Shamboy was too. Shamboy
and he could steal you too.
Shamboy steal money?
John
Apollo, we talking about, you know, Shamboy?
Yeah. He's
two pistols.
Yeah, he was something like Alec Gordon, something like on Moffitt's style. If he didn't get you, some of his others would. Like,
they'd sort of look out after each other and
mm-hmm.
protect each other.
Yes, we are.
Hello, sir.
That's my granddaughter.
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
Hi, how
good
you
to see you. Tubba Marshall.
Yeah.
He's a politician, I guess, and so, or a...
He worked on the railroad. He retired on the railroad, on the diner car, yeah.
He also ran for office, wasn't he?
Big Fetch.
Yeah, Big Fetch. What did Tubman run for? He didn't run
for city council or something.
I remember him running for something.
But his big thing was they said he was used to call ball games. He was a
big old bell.
Cowbell.
Cowbell. Boy, we'd have the most fun.
When he go to them basketball game, he'd take a cowbell. Boy, he beating it, he'd make him more than anybody there. He got a bunch of sons around here now, and his wife, she had, what about, how many kids they got? Nine?
I guess so.
Always wanted a girl. She just kept going, finally she got a girl.
Girl. I talked to Ellsworth Marshall Jr. I had a good time talking to him. Let's see. Charles.
It's good to talk about them old times.
Yeah, everybody enjoyed it. Charles Corn Pudding Childs.
He died in Dayton, Ohio.
They said he was full of mischief.
Yes, he was.
Mm-hmm.
But the story I heard on him was there was a big political rally, and L. Boone Hampton came down to speechify, and Pap Samuels was sort of emceeing it. You know, he was in charge. And Corn Pudding kept bugging Pap to go ahead and give him some whiskey. He wanted some whiskey. Pap said, no, we're going to talk, and then you're going to get something to drink. So Corn Pudding went back, and he got some liquor, and he put a big shoe fly in it.
That's what it was good. His mother told him, said, y'all gonna kill somebody with that.
And so he took that liquor back to Pap and said, well, you didn't give me nothing to drink, but I don't hold it again. Here, you go ahead and have some. And Pap slugged that down. He got up on the platform. He started to drink. He started the speech. And all of a sudden, he grabbed a seat of his pants and said, oh, Lord, somebody done shoe fly me. And ran out of there. And didn't come back because, well, he was in trouble. Right. He was hurt.
Yes, he was in trouble.
But that's the story. Do you all know any other stories on Corn Pudding?
No.
He's a character, I know that.
He was, I tell you.
He's a character, yeah.
Jack Robb.
That was Undertaker.
Jack Robb. Mm-hmm. He eventually worked for the Urban Renewal. Relocation officer. Mm-hmm. And
he did.
I think.
Finally got in that, you know, to try to help the people. Yes.
That's because smart, too. He had a lot of influence, too.
He was well known in the white community and accepted as well as the black community. Mm-hmm. I think you're right, that he got in that Urban Renewal to try and help.
Straighten it out.
Well, he played all the time, too. He played all engagements, random white places, you know. Everywhere.
Jack Robb Trio, I've heard it. He had a little group. Earl Tracy.
Yeah, he was prominent in the neighborhood.
He had a cab company at one time.
He did.
Yeah.
And Bob and, his two nephews. Robert and Henry. Robert and Henry used to drive for him.
His brother, John.
He worked for the Harrods, I think, at one time. Mm-hmm. Earl did. But they said that he had some influence and political influence.
He did.
Let's see, we talked a little bit about Shine Boy. They said, and this could be wrong about him, that he had done a stint in prison. That might have been Thomas Jefferson. Maybe. I don't know. That he had come out, and Jeff ran a restaurant.
He did. He was a good fellow. He was a good man. Yeah. Treacherous.
Very treacherous. Good person.
He didn't bother you.
Good person. Don't bother him. And he wouldn't let anybody bother you.
But if you bothered him, he could be.
Yeah, probably. But if you come down and somebody come up to Ray and Sandy, he come over. Hey, leave that man alone. He ain't doing it. And that's what he meant, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd heard Thomas Jefferson, old Bixie Follis's first wife. Came close to a riot one time. I don't know if y'all were here, but Bixie Follis's first wife was a woman of somewhat questionable reputation.
Mm-hmm.
And she claimed that she had been insulted by some blacks.
Mm-hmm.
And Bixie and Carlos and all their people came down in there ready to get blood got into it. And Jeff hit Bixie over the head with a coal shovel is what I heard.
He got that shovel. I was standing close to him.
And
he passed me a big old shovel, aluminum.
Yeah.
Passed me a shovel down like that, and he draw back and hit Bixie, and Bixie just fell back in.
Well, Bixie or Carlos had a pipe or something and was swinging left.
Well, the junkyard up there then had all them old arms and stuff out of the junkyard, mm-hmm. you know. And,
Well, the story I heard, and this is a woman that told me, and it involves the use of a profanity, so you have to excuse me, but she said that white girl, Bixie's wife, was strutting her stuff down there, and I don't mean
and
defense
had been
here,
all,
and said, any of you niggers want my white meat?
And that's what you said.
And none of the blacks responded, so she got insulted because they had rejected
her. Right.
And went home and told Bixie sure that did. They said some sexual things to her, and that's what stuck. That's the story I heard.
It is, and they fought too.
But somebody said that people were buying up weapons and bullets, and it looked like...
The thought was going to be a whole lot to it that night.
Well, he hit Bixie with that shovel and rung like a dinner bell, buddy, and down he went. I was up there that night.
What kept it from getting into a shooting kind of thing?
Well, in the finally the police began to riot and things, then I know they said they thought that Jeff was going to light it up too, so it kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Then Cass, you know, he, you know.
Straightened things out.
So it kind of.
He's standing in the door. He walk out there. He walk. He wasn't scared nobody. He walk right out there. Shoot him. He shoot you right back. You know.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Do y'all remember what year this was? Nobody has ever been able to, they think it's after the war that it happened.
It was.
It was after the war. Oh, Henry and them was all home.
Well, yeah, he was after the war, but I didn't go up in the bottom until
I
did come out.
No, I didn't either.
War, you know.
So nobody running, maybe 46 or 47.
I believe it was later than that. I believe it was before that flood we had. Before that 62, don't you?
What? I don't know. Well, I got out of service in 1945.
My mother died.
45. Yeah.
Let me see. Might be. Mother died in 56, and she was still living when all that.
Ah, so this was.
Because I remember some of them coming running, you know, and was telling about it.
Ah, so she was still alive when all that happened. It had to have been after 56 then. Is what you're saying?
Charles Field could probably tell you because he was there right beside me. He left right then.
And he's a good remember.
Yeah, I've got a call into him.
So he probably can remember just exactly
Charles
when he
Field,
left.
Well, that was probably one of the most explosive incidents I've heard of. Mm-hmm. As common, as close to a race riot as you could come. Henry Mack. I think he's still alive.
Yeah, he's
wearing us everything.
Yeah, he's
alive.
he's American Legend secretary. Yeah.
Ah, okay. That I think it was Mac was running a pool room or something. It wasn't. Ah, okay.
I was talking to H. Mack yesterday.
I've been trying to get a hold of him. I thought he might like to talk. I don't know if that's his kind of thing or not, but I thought I might call him and see if he wants
to. He's in the telephone book.
Yeah, I've called him a couple times. I never can catch him home.
Every time I look for him, I can't find him, but a lot of time I go to the club and don't have my keys.
Yeah.
And he's there all the time, but every time I don't have my keys, I can't find him. So.
let's see.
Does smoke bother you?
No. No, my grandfather used to smoke like a smokestack.
Smoke a cigarette.
Go ahead. Elizabeth Oglesby?
Yeah.
Her daughter just died, Margaret. Yeah.
Used to run a beautician shop.
That's right.
Yeah.
Down on Washington Street.
No, Clinton Street.
Clinton Street,
uh-huh.
But I really don't know of too many black owned and operated businesses. And she had her own business.
Yeah.
And
Mr. Oldsby used to come home every weekend and cut hair. He worked down Louisville.
Now, you were talking about Squeezer Brown.
Yeah.
All right, now his wife ran a barber shop down there.
His wife?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ah, I didn't know that. What was her name?
Miss Anna Becker.
Anna Becker
Brown.
I had not heard that, and she ran.
You had never heard that.
No,
she was rough too. See.
Oh, was she?
She was rough, man. She grabbed a man right now throwing down. You know.
She was nice though.
Ran a barbershop,
and that was Squeezer Brown's wife.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
That's the first
time. He had a song off to her. He was up there singing in front of Bobby Shaw.
Where was her shop?
On the corner of Clinton in Washington.
Okay. No, y'all told me something I had never heard. That seems funny because Squeezer is usually portrayed as sort of a nice, friendly, kind of quiet.
Well, see, they
not a rough
kind of guy. Separated.
He wasn't rough at all.
They separated, you know. But he'd go up there and play to.
He'd go up there and play to.
Squeezer wasn't rough at all.
No.
But you make his wife sound like she might have been a little the rough one of the two of them. Will Wren. Mm. Will Wren.
Big he Will ran a restaurant.
Yeah.
Big Will ran the car.
Yeah, they said the story I heard, they used to tease him. He's a big man that he made his hamburgers on his stomach.
Mm-hmm.
That's a teasing about
10 cents. Going to get a hamburger, 10 cents. Tomatoes, onions.
Yeah.
Market worked for him.
Oh, really? You worked for Will? Yeah, he was supposed to be quite a cook. Real good.
He was.
Real good cook. Couple of, I'm going on pretty long. I have a bad habit of doing this. When you want me to leave,
well,
you say,
we're not going
anywhere.
If you have any, now I got the names of some joints and some places that are not joints, that are just restaurant kind of places. Do you have any remembrances of the Tiger Inn?
Yeah.
Tiger Inn.
It was more or less a school restaurant.
At first.
You lived in it. You see,
that was on Miro.
All us kids, you know. They
that
had
was
a
on the
fountain.
Miro and Washington, around the corner.
Yeah. Well, I've heard the children would, on our lunch time, would go over there and get lunch.
Chili.
Bowl of beans.
Yeah.
Bottle pop nickel.
Muffins. A lot of times we'd go and get
nickel Victor.
We'd go get his muffins, go to Shine Barn and eat it. We'd eat our beans over there and our muffins at the Tiger's Inn. Yeah. We'd go to the Shine Barn and get our chili.
Ah.
Yeah, okay. That was our school hangout. Yeah.
He had a soda fountain in there.
Uh-huh.
And the Tiger's Inn.
It's white marble along top of it, about that thick, about that wide.
Uh-huh.
I got some over there. When I tore that building, when I tore it down, I went in and got some. So keep it for keepsake.
Yeah. Yeah, that was I read a letter that Mr. Atkins wrote. He said, I've been in business since 1937, for 31 years, up until 1968. And he said, it's something like the saddest day of my life. I can't get another license to sell malted beverages, and I don't know whether that's because I'm black or what, but I can't, and I'm going out of business. And they auctioned.
They fought hard for that, too.
He was a little humbug fella. And there's another guy that played with Ella Fitzgerald, I mean, you heard of the drummer, the Chick Webb.
Chick Webb.
And there was a drummer, and he looked just like Chick Webb.
Ah.
And somebody that didn't know, you know, came in and asked him, was he Chick Webb? Oh, man, that made a mess.
Well, did he own that place outright, or didn't he and Castleman?
No, Buckner owned it.
Buckner owned the building.
Uh-huh.
He owned the building. He and Professor Kennedy.
Ah, okay. I heard they named it Tiger Inn because it used to be the Clinton Street Tigers, and then it was the Mayo Underwood Tigers, and then they named it Tiger
Inn.
Sort of the equivalent of Pete's Corner, but for the black children.
We was in there all the time. He's running us. Yeah, out there, quieting down. And we go home. I never will forget. They had some record. I said I wasn't going to never forget that record. But it was a snappy record. And we would sing his record. When we go home, we forget. And we go home and we sing his record. Now, where did you hear that at? We heard the Tiger's Inn.
How about, let's see, the 99 Club?
Yeah.
That stayed open all night.
Mm-hmm.
You could go down there on a Friday night and be right there on a Monday morning. It was upstairs.
Yeah.
Very big place. Huh?
What did it look like
they
on
had
the
nice
inside?
Nice restaurant.
On the inside?
Yeah.
Nice.
Nothing, just a long counter, few chairs, few tables, and few chairs.
Yeah, but it was nice.
Could you dance? I mean, they have music and maybe dance.
Yeah,
they
had a show up there.
They said that's how I've heard that Saturday night or Friday night is the thing to do, is go down in the bottom and you could drive your car down the street and not unroll the window, but you could hear the music from
That's what we used to do all the time.
all the places. Yeah. Never even go in them in here.
No, just hear the music.
People would gather on the street corners.
Mm-hmm. And they're a restaurant, right? You get lost down there looking for somebody. Because the time they go in one restaurant, you go in another, and you know how you do it, just missing each other like that.
But the streets would be packed with people. Yes, right. Packed with people.
You didn't hear no whole lot of
cursing.
Cursing and all that. You didn't hear that.
No gambling on the street.
You didn't hear that. Hello.
Let's see.
Oh, I'm here.
Remember a place called the Silver Slipper?
Yes, it is.
Silver Slipper? You ever heard of that?
Silver Slipper.
Or the White Spot.
Oh, well. So I'll let
you remember Silver Slipper?
Oh, it's okay. I don't want to interrupt your phone call.
Playhouse Inn, you have it down there?
No.
Yeah.
What was it? Playhouse Inn? No.
That was on Clinton Street.
Ah. When was it running? After the war?
Yeah. It was about the same time all this shit was going on. They called it Playhouse Inn. Walter Mays.
No. Booby died.
Walter Mays?
Booby died.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I had not heard of that. That's a new one on
mm-hmm.
me. Those places mm-hmm. came in and out of business mm-hmm. so quick, and mm-hmm. they changed names. And that's the thing. It makes it hard to keep track of.
Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, there was a place called the Little Restaurant.
Yes, yes.
Heard of that?
Little Restaurant. No, where was that?
Got a name? I don't know really where
uh-huh.
it was. The Blue Moon?
Yeah. That was on Clinton Street. Mm-hmm. The other white place.
That's
Esther Brown, yeah. I believe. Didn't he run
that? Esther Smith used to.
Esther Smith.
We used to run the Peachtree.
Okay. Peachtree. Yeah. Right, that was on Washington Street.
Okay.
Peachtree. The Blue Moon was on Clinton and Gaines' Alley.
Clinton and Gaines' Alley?
Yeah. Okay. On that corner there. Uh-huh.
Okay. Well,
what
here's
was?
Clinton and Gaines'. Here's Clinton and there's Gaines' Alley coming in.
Uh-huh.
And the Blue Moon was.
Right along in here.
Ah, okay.
It might not have been on the corner, but anyway, right along
the
way.
No, it was about the second door. Or something like
that. The Sky Blue Inn.
That was what, you know, Jack worked for that man. That's what they named it, changed the name of it.
Ed Fensel used to have that place, is what I've been told.
Mm-hmm. That was down there where Fensel used to have the meat market.
Oh, okay. Where Treacherous Street, yeah.
Yeah.
It was on Clinton Street too, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Tiptoe Inn, Les Humphrey used to run it.
That was right across from the Playhouse Inn, wasn't it? Well,
that was right across from Bittenham, wasn't it?
Tiptoe Inn.
Mm-hmm. You know, that restaurant set back in there.
You see, Esther Smith had a place up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he went out of there, and after he went out of there, it was Tiptoe Inn, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
The Stag Bar. Stag Bar.
That must have been up in town.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about that.
I don't know that
might have been early on.
Mm-hmm.
The Forest Moore's Liquor Store was on Broadway someplace.
Yeah, it was on Broadway right there at Madison Street, right across from the old State House.
Ah, okay. So here's Broadway and Madison. That would have been right on the corner there.
That's a McAvoy thing.
Uh-huh. I'll tell you, what's in there now?
Beauty Salon.
Oh, Beauty Salon, uh-huh.
Ah, okay.
Where that Beauty Salon that used to be for us more.
When you think about men who had a reputation for being tough or men you didn't want to cross, are there any names that come to mind that we haven't... We talked about a lot of men with that kind of reputation, but do you remember any of the names of...
No, when they all died out, we didn't have no more.
Most of them were gone by the war, you'd say?
Mm-hmm.
That's what a lot of people have told me. They said...
Yeah, when they died out, that was it.
It. That after Prohibition ended, say, in the mid-30s, and that the area sort of quieted down.
Mm-hmm.
It was rougher earlier on and then got quiet.
Yeah, because when I was real small on Washington Street, they had the 8 Mile House. Well, I didn't know nothing about that too much. And in fact, I couldn't go around there anyway, mm-hmm. and I just heard about it, you know.
Yeah, I've heard of the 8 Mile House. As a matter of fact, I think, now here's Tiger's Inn.
It was behind Tiger's Inn.
On the same side of the street.
Same side.
Mm-hmm. Sort of a place you'd go to meet
friends. Look at everything.
Yeah, exactly. But I never understood why they called it 8 Mile House.
Well, no, who did? We never did. Now, the old folks wondered about that.
Yeah. Other, the only story I ever heard was there was a place, as you go toward Louisville, by St. Matthew's, there was a place called the 8 Mile, because it was between two, and they think maybe somehow that name got over here. That's the only story I've ever heard.
I've heard the old folks wonder why it was, you know.
Yeah, and nobody's been able to tell me that yet. Would you say that Bottom was a violent place?
No. I wouldn't say, but I will say that you can get almost anything you want down through there. Fights, arguments, friendship, anything you want. Nobody didn't bother you, you know.
It's, I guess, what you were looking to find when went in there.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, people didn't just stand out and for an argument or nothing like that. It just, whatever.
Well, most all the white people, we knew them, they knew us, and they speak and go on. You know, I had one guy, they call him Miller Cox. You ever heard his name called?
No.
He was a white guy, and he cut his hair just like a Mohawk Indian. He was rough. Now, he hung around the black money, they're the white.
Uh-huh.
And would fight anybody, I don't care who it was, would fight anybody. But he was an awful good guy, really. No
the other story I've heard is that if there was violence, it came into the community.
Right. Uh-huh. Can he call you back?
Of course, everybody hit me back. You know what I mean with this.
But like people from South Frankfort, even people from outside of Frankfort altogether, would come down and get liquored up at a joint, and they would be the source of the trouble, and then they'd get out of there and. Bottom, we get stuck with a reputation of
people
on the south side, they come over and fight among themselves, then go back on the south side.
Mm-hmm. And the reputation.
Prominent people,
reputation be over there. Why, they had the biggest fight up the Bottom last night, and nobody in the Bottom had been fighting.
Well, I've heard of several, I guess, sort of dramatic incidents where there was murder. The murder of a black cab driver by the name of Ray.
Ray.
And I've heard that several stories on that apparently a gal was attracted to him that another man was interested in, and this man set Ray up and had him murdered.
Then there was another guy that worked at Fentzel's meat store on St. Clair Street. He was a colonel.
Mm-hmm.
He got killed.
They set him up too.
They set him up and weed him down in the river, you know. So.
Yeah, but like, when you mentioned that Alec had killed your uncle,
mm-hmm.
This the first that he was involved in more than one murder. From what he went into a store, and I could be wrong on this, and there was a black clerk at the store. It was a liquor store, and apparently there was a dispute over Alec owing some money for some liquor, and he came back and shot this guy and killed him. And so I'd heard several stories on him as far as violence, acts of violence.
Mm-hmm. I told you he was like the Moffat.
Yeah, but those are very isolated incidents.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're very dramatic, but they're isolated to my mind. One of the things I read in the newspaper, which I disagree with, and maybe you'll agree with it or disagree, I don't know. Somebody said that Bottom, parts of it were a red light district.
But it wasn't.
It was just certain houses.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't know where they were, you didn't go. Didn't know where they were.
You weren't in no red light.
Well, they didn't solicit, you know, on the street. You just had in other words, more or less a rooming house. Where you could go
place
in the room.
You could rendezvous, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, like you said earlier, things went on, but they went on behind closed
doors.
And you didn't see it on the street, and unless you knew where it was going on, you
didn't
know
it. And then another thing, if you wasn't around the people that talked what all this was going on, you know, Because I remember one time in that song, they were talking about a lady, and she was nice to me, and always we'd go to ice plant for old people. And I'd pick up her ice, you know, and all, and I said, Miss Annie gave me such and such because I brought her some ice back. And they'd look at each other, the old folks would, you know. And I said, well, she called me. Well, that's all I could say, you know. And but they wouldn't just come right out and tell you what went on, you know.
And my auntie worked at one of those places, and when she needed things, she would call me. I was a little kid, you know. But couldn't get no foot in the front door. That's why I made it the front door, and that's what I gave her, and I left there, right there, to get inside.
Well, one of the ladies I talked to, her aunt had worked at what she called a house of assignation. And I felt so dumb because I didn't know what that was. I had to go back and look up what that word meant. And she knew I didn't know, and she was looking at. But she said, I guess her aunt worked there because she liked beautiful things. And it was a way to make money, to get the kinds of things she wanted. And at the story she told me, she said, like, on the county court days, and this is the early day, farmers and people drive in their herds of cows or pigs and get them slaughtered, and they get money, and first places they go to is over there. Or the rivermen would ride rafts of logs down out of the river. And this was like the 20s, early
20s. Yeah, I've heard old people talk about it, you know.
And they would get money, and that's where they'd head, right there. And, well, even White Frankfort. I'm sure that the police must have known what was going on.
Oh, you know they did. They had to have been persuaded
to.
And half of them was in it.
involved,
but they didn't want to be, you know, broke. Because I know old white lady that lived across the street, Mus. She was terrible. And they all knew it, and they'd drive by then. And Bess, how you do it, you know. They knew what was going on.
But they looked the other way because they'd received some incentive maybe to look the other way.
But she'd send us kids to the store. But like Henry said, we never got no further than her door. She'd meet us when we come back and give us a quarter. And she was in with everybody that was in every kind of business. A lot of times she'd have a big thing of cookies to give us. You know, and all, but she never let us in.
Well, one of the things that, and it's a very pleasing thing to me, is that you might have somebody involved in something that was a little outside the law, but people didn't pass judgment on them because they were doing that.
No, they didn't.
I mean, they might meet you on the street, and they'd talk to you, and they were good to you.
That's right.
And that was their business, and
and you went right on.
And Miss Samuels, she lived right in the bottom. All right, she lived about two doors behind Cozy Corner. All right, she had a real nice house there, too. She come out, and she come right up on that pool room side. They would get out of the way, tip their head to her, and no problem.
Well, Miss Holmes...
Somebody say something, they come in, you know.
Miss Holmes told me the story. She said that one of the fellows down there said, Miss Holmes, you just tell us when you're coming, and we'll be sure that there's no problems, and you just let us know, and everything will be all right. So, you know, I sort of agree with you all. You only found trouble if you went looking for trouble.
That's right.
Well, I've just about gone through. I've talked you poor people into the ground. But was there any questions you thought I'd ask you about, but I haven't asked? Anything you thought you were going to be talking about and we didn't wind up talking about?
No, I can't think of anything.
Well, I've enjoyed myself, and when I get this paper written, I'll send you all a copy. And if you'd like copies of the interview, I can get you copies of the tape if you'd like them for whatever reason.
Okay.
I can do that for you.
All right.
And I'd like to see, and maybe y'all can give me some advice on this. We have a photographer on our staff. And I'd like to set up a couple days where you can bring your pictures in and have them copied, and you leave with your originals. You don't have to leave your... And the copies would become part of the collection of the Kentucky Historical Society.
Yeah, that would be one.
Because we don't have very many images of black life in Frankfort.
I know, and what you do have is not...
Not particularly good.
No, it's not.
Do you think if we publicized it through maybe church bulletins and through the people I've talked to in my project, that folks would respond to that?
Yes,
I mean, because it is a memory.
Because they were really disgusted that they had that big write-up in the paper.
Which one was that?
The bottom. It's been a long time, you know. And they had, you remember, they had a big write-up about, and everybody was just really disgusted with it.
And it brings back old memory too, because a whole lot of things you remember after you see certain things.
A picture.
It does bring back memory.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you, that write-up that you're talking about, seems like after that came out, then they had an article with Papa Jazz Barry.
I got it.
Yeah, I've got a copy of that one myself. Now, I didn't see the first article, the one that got everybody mad, but I've seen Papa Jazz's article.
Mm-hmm.
But the one you're talking about, I think, was an interview with a white policeman, and all he talked about was violence and
everything.
Yeah, what he done.
And I believe my soul Hines was in that too, wasn't he?
Who?
Hines.
I don't know what he meant. He had.
I know, but I know it was an upsetting article. I know everybody was just really on the toes about it.
Well, there were several editorials. I think Mr. Calhoun wrote a response, and George Simmons, I think. A lot of people got upset about it.
Yes, because it wasn't true. I mean, just really all of it was not.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't take and just put something just in, just like that everybody was just a bunch of slobs that worked, that lived down there.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't so.
Well,
because we were church-going people. We were, you know. And we were trying to hold up a community.
And the other thing that I think is wrong is they said everybody down there was poor. But you had middle class, you had teachers
and doctors.
Dentists, and undertakers.
And was helping the ones that was poorer than us, you know. And, I never could. Because we understood that most of the jobs that you could get then, or our parents could get then, were in private families. Yes.
A lot of people have told me
and
that.
And so that was the only thing, you know.
Particularly
and
for
then
black
women. Uh-huh. And they always sort of helped that, because if our parents did the laundry or anything and we taken it home, we had to go around the back to take it. You know.
Well, once...
I see Nichols Bakery and all my people washed and ironed for them. Well, when I carried the things, why... We had to go to the back, Luke the Miles, and all of them, see.
Mm-hmm.
Now that was the only thing they made you know that you was working for.
Yeah. We've come a far distance from that
time. Yes.
Well, the story...
With some.
Yeah, the story I heard
we
is...
We still got some that would rather you use their back door than their front.
I hope that number is dwindling, though. I hope it's a smaller number. But the story I heard is that whites would pull up in a car with laundry and wouldn't ever get out of the car. A black woman
would go there and get it. I've done it a minute a day.
And either because they were afraid or they just didn't want to get out of the car.
They won't get out.
And then they'd come back later in the day to pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I was interviewing one woman and a white man came to the door and dropped off his shirt to be altered. There are still people making their livings, cleaning, sewing, and that kind of thing. Anna Mae, Miss McLean, I don't know if you all know her. She wrote me a beautiful 4-page letter, and she says on rent collection day, she remembered this beautiful, attired white gal would come down on, I guess it was Sunday afternoon or something, and come by and pick up the rent once a week. And you had to have your rent ready. Paid by the week.
Paid by the week.
It's not like $3 or $4 a week.
Yeah, that's right.
Something on that. Which was, doesn't sound like a lot to a young person, but mamas and daddies weren't making too much.
No, you didn't get $2.50 for the laundry.
$1 a week, salary wasn't nothing away. You know.
No, Lord.
So everybody had to work to make the ends meet.
Uh-huh. But you know what? I'm sort of glad.
Why?
When we were coming up, that we learned how to work. Look how many youngsters we got now that don't want to work.
These youngsters ain't going to work now.
Turn up their nose at a
they
job.
They feel like you owe them something, you know. And they don't think about trying to make a living, their mom said. Or that they're going to have to. That was our parents' thing. If we're not here, you're going to have to.
To make it.
To make it.
Yeah. So growing
but
up.
But we hope it will be better when you all get older than it was for us.
I remember Papa Jazz in his article said, "So these young people got so many opportunities we never had.
That's
and
right.
yet they don't realize, you know, and don't take advantage of them.
That's right.
Much.
That's yeah. right.
I would have liked to have talked to him. That article
The kids get a big kick out
well,
of it.
He's a good conversation.
Oh, Lord,
had.
He'd have you at 12 o'clock. Well, he'd be talking to you at 12 o'clock.
Well, if there is one person that, or two or three that I must talk to, that I shouldn't miss, who would you recommend that I should try and talk to, who lived it and knows it? And is there anybody that I should try and get a hold of? That
Lord. Honey, there's so many of our people that's gone. You know, that could really...
The older ones, you know.
That could really, you know. Wow. I was looking through my auxiliary list the other night. From 72, I'm going back through them. And from 72 up until 82, we had 91 members of the American Legion auxiliary. And do you know, practically all those people are gone.
Gone on in 10 years.
The ones that left are so
in
old.
In 10
like,
years' time.
Like Miss Ellis, she's 90-some years old, and she's very active at that age.
And
she
I've
walks
got,
all the time.
I saw her up at the Senior Citizens up on the west side of town. I met her and spoke with her.
And I've got about 10 now that's down and that we have to go to. I'm really supposed to have 41, but since that time I've lost three of them. Mm. So I mean, it's just, you know.
Very few. I've got calls into, well, like Mary Chenault.
Yeah,
to,
now she can tell you a lot.
Yeah, she seems a little reluctant right now. It's hard to build up trust because I'm not known to all these people.
Well,
mm-hmm.
I have talked with you, so we go to the same church. She sings in the choir.
Well, if you say a good word in my
so
behalf.
So I will. Yeah. So I'll tell her that I've talked with
she's
you.
She's older than we
and
are.
For you, yes, yeah. She's
she
older
she can
than
remember
we
more
are.
Than
uh-huh.
I called Bertie Samuels, and she said her memory isn't too good
it
anymore.
Isn't. It
is. And
she's one of my auxiliary.
Dorothy Wilson. I called.
Oh, was she her memory?
She's almost
senile
now. She's quit
yeah,
driving,
she's
I think.
One,
yeah,
she's,
yeah.
She's
the doctor told her not to drive
yeah.
no more.
She doesn't remember.
The gal that plays the organ for... Corinthian Baptist.
Crank.
Said maybe talk to her.
Josephine Crank.
Somebody said I might want to talk to her.
Uh-huh.
I've been trying to get a hold of like Henry Mack and Sam Parker.
Now that's who you need to get a hold to.
Henry.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll tell him. I said the man won't talk to you, and he wants to talk about old times. Mm-hmm.
Well, let him know I'm trying to find him. I tell you what, let me give you one of my business cards.
Yeah, because I see him all the time.
He might look you up.
Yeah, because he's down American Legion all the time, you know. Well, he's our secretary, I tell you.
I tell you, that was a crime. That beautiful building they had, and then they had to relocate, and now the building they've got ain't near what it was.
Well, no, indeed. No, it's near. You know, that is one thing
thank you.
That should have been saved, too.
Oh, that was a
gorgeous for a landmark,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
They're saving everything up on the other end, the Lindsay's house and everything. And that's not too far from there. What's the reason it couldn't have been saved?
It could have been. There was
why,
nothing,
sure.
nothing really wrong with that building.
No.
But see, they stripped out that whole area. And you know, they didn't build the first building back there until about 1963 when
that
post office
that's
when
right.
it came back in. So there was a period there about 6-7 years when they ripped everything out and nothing went back.
Nothing, that's right.
The biggest lie was when they said, we're going to build all this housing back in there and people can come back in. And
that's
the only housing that ever got built was that Riverview Terrace. That's
up
30 units right where Wilkerson and Hill used to run in, up on the hill.
Up
yeah.
On the
uh-huh.
hill.
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
So I think a great injustice was done.
It was just awful. And now you see they're trying to dig more. Now here they come building out here.
Well, see, Mr. Calhoun was telling me if they build that South Frankfort flood wall, he's going to have to move again.
Yeah.
The story, he says, I thought I made it to King's Row. They jumped me all over the place, and I thought I finally made it to King's Row.
Yeah.
And
why
they said,
you
I ain't there
bothered?
Yet.
No.
I ain't there yet.
No.
You know, he put that trail in there. It wasn't supposed to be no trail there. But he put it in there, and they just let him stay there. And I told him, if I was here, I left the wheels on it. Every time the water come up, I'd have hooked and pulled it out.
Yeah. He said he's been pretty lucky. He hadn't got too much water in there. 78.
Oh, it's been covered.
Yeah. 78 got him, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I'll let you all go, and I'll send you a copy of the paper and these tapes. And I do appreciate your time.
Well, I had a good time talking to you.
I hope you had a good time. I hope
did.
You did.
I had a good time talking to you. Let's get
yeah. He brought all his help with him.
Huh.
Black help. His cook, his chauffeur, his butler, and everything.
Over from Versailles?
Had him over to the mansion, that's, yeah.
Well, we went to school with him.
Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah.
And the family were hunters. And of course, one of them was in my class, and I think one of them in Margie's class. And there were three girls.
The story I heard about Happy in the Bottom was when he was running in 55, his second term.
Mm.
He came down into one of the places and set everybody up with drinks, threw $50 down on the bar and said, give everybody what they want. And it was patting backs and shaking hands and politicking. And that's the only Happy-related story. Well, he had a big, he used to talk about everybody's going to walk on that carpet, that 20-something thousand-dollar
yeah,
carpet. That,
yeah.
So when I'm governor, everybody's going to walk on that
yeah,
carpet.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I remember that.
I'll get out of your hair.